Hello, everyone. Welcome to Game Junk, episode 35 for June 2018. My name is Sean.
My name is Andrew.
Get out of here, Frank. Actually, it's probably my fault, isn't it? I think you're second all the time. It's been a while. A little rust.
It's all right. Frank's here. He's third.
A little rust.
Yeah, so a little bit of craziness here tonight. You know, it's been like over 6 months since we've recorded an episode of Game Junk, and finally things came together. We had E3, we all finished God of War, we had so much to talk about, and then disaster struck. Windows Update once again fucked us, and so now we're going to try and... after waiting an hour for my computer update, we're going to record something, but it's going to be half of an episode, essentially, and we're just going to focus on E3 this time around. Is that the plan?
That's the plan.
Hopefully, that's the plan. We plan to record at 9:30. It's now 11:15 as we're starting to hit the road running.
Yep, and it seems like this is happening every time we try to do Game Junk. Something just doesn't want us to get these episodes out, but...
That something is usually Sean's computer.
Yeah, it does seem that way.
Yep.
But, you know, we will continue on. We'll make this happen, and I guess, you know, before we get into E3...
At least our ineptitudes are not on stage with millions of people watching at home, like all of the E3 press conferences where they have their mics on when they leave the stage, the most awkward moments imaginable.
Exactly. Yeah, so, I mean, we will get to God of War and I guess some of the other stuff we played soon. Hopefully in the next week or so, we'll try and record the other half of that episode. But I think there's more than enough to talk about with E3. So before we get to that, is there anything we need to plug? I mean, I guess, so you set up a Discord.
Yes, yeah.
Server.
Yep.
Which we didn't have last time.
No, we did not, yeah. So that is the best place to probably find out about that is on the Facebook page. There's a link on the Facebook page. I'm sure we posted it on Twitter, but I don't think it's really easily accessible. I don't think we pinned the tweet or anything like that.
Yeah, maybe we should try and do that.
Yeah, so Facebook is probably the best, and I pinned it at the top, so it should be near the top.
Yeah, facebook.com/gamejunk if you want to jump in there. And, I mean, there's some different channels, different discussions going on.
Yeah, Film Junk, too. There's a couple of Film Junk channels, a bunch of Game Junk channels, and... Yeah, that seems to be a good spot to talk about things right now. But we're still monitoring the other avenues.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Do either of you guys have anything like that you're working on that you wanted to plug or anything? I don't know where you guys are at with any of your projects.
No, I don't think there is anything to plug at this time.
No?
I could plug a little mini thing on... my website for the company, EquilibriumSystems.com, I added a little newsletter button-y thing. So if you feel like following the like 1 to 2 blog posts I make a month, though it's been a lot less recently, contracts have been busy, you can plug in your email there and you can join the army of like 3 other people that are on my mailing list. And, you know, keep up to date with everything I'm doing. I'm sure I'll be posting, you know, anything that comes up with the company and any games we're working on when they get created in the future.
So, I mean, you have been posting stuff on Twitter and other places.
I was trying to post kind of like once a week or once every other week. I kind of had a schedule, but recently the contract I've been working on has been a little crazy. So I've skipped a bunch of posts this month and last month, but I was trying to do one sort of like internal milestone update. I was trying to still work on my game slowly. And then I was trying to do one sort of more like game dev related blog post. And then I've also been dabbling in synthwave music creation. So I was trying to do like one new synthwave song a month.
Nice.
Yeah. Just just stretching myself completely thin in every fashion.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah,
that's,
so
that's how we do it around here.
Yeah, I don't have all the podcasts you guys have, so I got to fill my time with something.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, you're always ready to go for Game Junk, and it's mostly Frank and I that are just like, maybe a little more time, maybe another month.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I have to say too that, you know, usually there has to be something that gets us all together to talk, right? And so if it's not E3 or some other big announcement, usually there needs to be a game that we've all played, and it just, there hasn't really been.
There's been no new news. Usually we have quite the big news section.
Yeah,
and
true
there
too.
Hasn't really been any news except for E3 since the last show. I mean, there has been some big games, but really just God of War.
Yeah.
I can't think of, I mean, I guess if you want to count, did we do one, like a Breath of the Wild show? Probably not, right?
Yeah, I think, well, we did.
We talked about it a little bit, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's like over a year and 2 months old at this point, right?
Oh, is that old? Oh, God. I don't know what's going on in games, I guess.
Well, that's, yeah, I mean, other than God of War, I mean, I guess there was, what, Far Cry?
Far Cry 5 was the other major release, and there might have been one other one. Not really, though.
Yeah, it's been a little slow. So there just hasn't been.
Sea of Thieves is the other major release, I guess, that I have not sunk that much time into.
Yeah,
if any. I played a bit of the beta, but I did get Game Pass for it. Might be too late by the time this goes up, but there was a sweet deal this week. 6 months of Game Pass for $36. No tax. So you could buy three of them. So I got 18 months for $107.
That's pretty good. I didn't realize you could stack it like that.
Oh, yeah, buddy. BestBuy.ca. Get on it.
Cool. Okay. So, yeah, I guess I'll just quickly mention, you know, anybody, if your first time listening or whatever, like facebook.com/gamejunk, we throw up news and stuff there, and it gets posted also to our Twitter account, @gamejunkpodcast. If you want to send questions and comments, you could send them to gamejunkpodcast@gmail.com. And we have a website, gamejunkpodcast.com, but it seems like most of the discussion and stuff still seems to happen at Film Junk. So that's pretty much where you can find Game Junk. And I'm still getting over a cold, so apologies for that. Got to stop doing podcasts and start sleeping, maybe. So let's get into E3 then, because I don't know if there's a lot to dig into per se, but certainly a lot to maybe poke fun at.
Well, how about we start off with trends of E3 this year?
Trends of E3.
Notice any trends in the conferences or announcements of the show? I think going into it, everyone was expecting every game to be announcing a battle royale mode. Mm-hmm. And that didn't really happen.
No.
No,
I think people are not even attempting to enter that competitive space at this point. Only Battlefield really announced it.
Yeah, I mean, Fortnite is on Switch now, but
yeah, everyone knew that was happening pretty much. Well, I have a few things that are kind of trends. You guys can fill in. Live musical performances at all of the conferences.
I don't think all of them, but yeah,
well,
Sony
for,
and
except
Ubisoft.
For EA, I think.
I don't think Microsoft did they?
Maybe not, but Bethesda did too.
And Nintendo didn't really.
Well,
so you got two. That's a trend.
That's all right. You're half.
I got three, buddy. I've got three. And if you
you're
count two,
50%.
If you count two in the Sony's, I've got four. All right.
Okay. Keep it coming. Keep it coming.
Weak trend, but we'll start somewhere.
Well, give me a better one. Give me a better one. I've got two more.
I got one. How about lack of multiplayer compared to previous E3s? That's like kind of surprising. Not many games really focused on multiplayer like in previous E3s.
Well, I would say Fallout 76 was, its whole announcement was that it's multiplayer.
Okay. That's one game.
Horizon 4 had a huge on the stage seamless multiplayer demo.
All right. Two.
Battlefield.
Command and Conquer Mobile Edition.
There we go.
See a trend. Multiplayer. That's what I said.
I mean,
all right. My next trend. This is the biggest one. Sorry, Sean. It does not even going to compare to this one.
Okay, go ahead.
Everyone going out of their way to say no microtransactions or non pay for play features in games, specifically EA.
Yeah.
Well, of course they were going to.
And the biggest.
If they said that they had put any microtransactions in any of the games, they would have just been destroyed this E3.
I agree. The biggest trend of all to me, which is, I don't know if it's a good thing. Like every game coming out in January or February of 2019.
Yeah. Also, I think I noticed that. I think it was like early to mid October, which was also absolutely ram packed.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's usually the case. Everything gets announced, you know, for this holidays if it's coming out within the next 6 months. But, I mean, there was tons. Last year, the only game that came out in January that was a major release was Monster Hunter World, which I think led to it having huge sales. Mm-hmm. And then everyone is like, oh, we should hit that window this time because people are starved for new games after Christmas.
Yeah, well, we'll see how many people actually hit that window.
That is definitely a possibility. And this is a minor trend. I was surprised how much like samurai stuff there was.
Yeah, there was at least three or four games.
Yeah, I mean, well, the From Software new game is Samurai, Ghosts of Tsushima, Nioh 2. There might be another one in there. I'm forgetting. Oh, there was another indie one in one of the showcases as well.
You're talking about that. Was the From Software one that Sekara game?
Shadows Die Twice. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think that's the same one.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, I guess I had a couple of reactions. One is that it was a very lackluster E3, and I feel like we've said that a lot over the last few years, but last year was a really good year for games, and I think we all agree on that. And maybe you could say that it's just, you know, it's a lull because if last year was great, then we're going to skip a year before more great games come out. But that doesn't really make sense. I mean, we're kind of like in the middle of the console cycle here, if not getting towards the end. And if we were at the very end of the console cycle and things had been announced, like hardware-wise, maybe that would be an explanation for why there's not as much stuff, as many new games being announced. But it just, I don't know, man. Like, there's a lot of stuff where it was just teaser trailers with barely anything there.
Yeah.
And other than that, it was stuff that we knew was either coming out this year or very soon. And there was nothing in between.
I think like a lot of the companies seem to have pulled back, like their how many games they were making. Like, didn't Sony recently close, you know, a couple studios? And I mean, Microsoft had no studios before this conference, basically. And then Nintendo, I mean, they're kind of closed books, so you don't even know what they're doing. But I wonder if that trend of them closing studios and maybe they're being more like really conservative, you're now seeing that develop where they don't have any games in the pipe for right now. Like, maybe they have a window lined up in a year, but they didn't spend enough money to prop up enough teams, and now there's kind of this lull and they're relying on indies and third parties to fill the gap, and it's just not there right now.
Yeah, I think it's also there's some glaring omissions too that weren't there. Final Fantasy VII Remake and Shenmue 3, where people were losing their fucking minds at a PlayStation conference saying Sony destroyed E3 because they announced two games that are never going to come out within 7 years. I'm still angry about that. I hate ghosting at E3, like putting out these announcements. Same with Metroid Prime 4 last year. That stuff just gets me so angry.
That this year is Battletoads, which would have been exciting, except there was nothing. There was literally nothing behind.
Well, that was basically the Metroid from last year.
Yeah,
Battletoads, I think, is just going to be like an arcade game. I don't think it's going to be a major release. So
no,
I think it'll be like Strider. It's probably from the same guys that made Strider, or maybe the. I guess it wouldn't be the Shadow Complex guys, but I think they're owned by Epic now. But the, I think is Strider it, was Capcom, which I think.
But is
did
it,
they do?
Isn't Battletoads Rare?
Yeah. I don't think Rare's developing it, though, but even by the way it was presented, it was kind of as a joke. Like, it's, I don't think it's a big title. It's going to be like Cuphead or something along those lines. Mark my words. And, I mean, Rocksteady, nothing. I think we were all expecting something from them.
Yeah, that was one of my, well, at the office, Frank, we did the, the E3 estimates. That was one of mine. I really wanted to see what they were up to, and that was MIA.
And the Avengers game from Square Enix, I think people were expecting to see something on that. I don't know. I, every conference, there was a couple of surprises, but for the most part, it was just updates or rehashes of stuff we've seen in previous years. So I was extremely disappointed. And if I had to pick a press conference that was the best, it's a little tricky because you get into... when you see the list of what we want to play, everything, my favorite stuff is Sony's, right? That I'm the most looking forward to for the most part. But I'm not going to judge it based on that. I'm going to judge it based on like strength of the presentation, like how strong I thought they presented their materials. I would have Microsoft first, Bethesda second, Sony third, Ubi, and then EA, I guess. But EA's way back, like bottom of list.
I think I might. I think I have the same order, except I might switch Sony and Ubisoft. But it's hard to say.
I would agree. Microsoft was the best for me, just in terms of like the number of things they announced that were kind of new that we didn't know about. I mean, they had a few things that weren't just game announcements. Like they had some. They briefly touched on hardware stuff and. Yeah, they just kind of, they didn't have as much ridiculous sideshow stuff going on. They just kept to the games mostly.
It wasn't pomp and circumstance. It was, here's a video, here's a video. They didn't overstay their welcome. It was about, the focus was on games, which used to be what Sony did the best.
Yeah,
they were like, we're going to show you games. Gamers want games. And in terms of personas in the industry, to me, Phil Spencer has kind of replaced Jack Trenton, like the attitudes that he used to have and why I liked his leadership. I see that in Phil Spencer now. I still think Sony has the best games. Don't get me wrong. Now in terms of the presentations, like even the stage for Microsoft was the coolest for me. They had the least amount of cringeworthy stuff, the smoothest transitions between everything. They didn't try to overdo stuff. Sony,
they didn't have a 20-minute intermission in the middle of the conference.
I don't know what they were thinking with that. Like, it is crazy to think, like, no one thought, I'm sure people who were there thought it was cool. At home, it was not cool at all.
We're cutting to these D-list
video game celebrities giving us Call of Duty trailer announcement. Like, they had that whole show an hour before the press conference last year, where they actually unveiled a bunch of VR stuff. And in that context, I liked that one hour cheap show before E3. It actually got me even more hyped for Sony stuff. And then it was just, I think it was a 2-hour press conference from Sony last year. If you take out the 20-minute like break in between, there's barely cracked an hour this year. It was 4 game demos and RE2. And I got to look at my worst of E3 list to remember the name. Trover Saves the Universe, which is like...
Oh, I'm looking forward to that.
You might be looking forward to it. Its presentation was horrendous. I look at summaries of E3 and they're omitting it from everything. It's like they're trying to erase this game from the history of E3. I looked at a summary of all these Sony, what they showed. It's not on any list. And I remember it. I will never forget. And it was just, meh after meh. And we're kind of spoiled as gamers at this point, right? It's like, what have you done for me lately? I don't want to sound too cynical, but in judging E3, it was one of the least memorable or impactful ones I've watched.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, though, because, like, from a developer point of view, maybe that's a good thing, right? Because there's always pressure to, like, have something to show at E3, and then, you know, that it always ends up putting developers in a weird position, because it's like they should be focusing on other parts of the game, but it's like, no, you got to polish this demo for E3. And so maybe, like, companies are just getting smarter about that stuff, and they don't care about that stuff anymore. And so, yeah, it sucks for us watching at home, but it's maybe better for the industry overall.
And it is a little like immediacy to it, right? I would rather have bad E3s and good games. And I mean, one of our biggest complaints is I have too many games. I can't play them all. So, I mean, it seems a bit hypocritical to be saying, oh, where's all the new stuff at E3? But I can understand that it's a bad E3, but the games will still be good.
One more trend that I just thought of was just how many games overstayed their welcome on stage, and how many games they showed that were like cinematic trailers that they spent so much money on. And it just blows my mind the amount of money that some of these publishers are, in my opinion, wasting on the stage, because they don't really represent the game. They don't tell you anything about that game. Like, well, we could jump into this, because one of the games that I can't remember what conference it was at. I think it might have been Sony. This like Babylon's Fall game. It's like,
I think that was Square Enix.
Square Enix. Okay, from Platinum. So I've heard all these journalists, people talking about that game, how they're so excited for it. And I don't know how. Like, other than that it's made by Platinum, the teaser trailer, whatever you want to call it, said nothing about the game.
Well,
it was the most like nondescript time, like 2 minutes of time on stage that you could get. I don't know why they do this. That doesn't even explain anything about the game. Like, even that was just like some timeline countdown. It doesn't even hype you up for whatever.
I completely agree. That announcement was, and it took a while. It wasn't like you were seeing action. You were seeing scrolls and images.
You're trying to like read stuff
completely out of context. I don't even know what I'm looking at here.
Yeah.
That was terrible. I didn't even mention Square Enix. They are the lowest of the low. Their press conference was horrendous.
What about Devolver, man?
I didn't watch that. I don't know.
Not it was bad. That was the lowest of the low.
From what I can say, like, Square Enix is showing videos that are already being shown in other major press conferences.
Oh,
it was just repeating everything.
I'm pretty sure that Kingdom Hearts like 10-minute long trailer was the same in every single conference. Like,
except
you didn't even give any variety at all.
I saw Kingdom Hearts content 5 times at E3. Like, enough is enough.
Yeah.
With this fucking game.
Yeah, I guess the only other thing in terms of, you know, watching E3, and the thing that crossed my mind, probably because of what you're talking about, Huck City, that, you know, some of these games are just, they're spending so much time on them and I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And it just made me think, you know, everybody wants to be making the game, the one game that all these people will put all their time and money into, and they'll ignore every other game. You know what I mean? Like,
it's kind of
stuff we've talked about before, where there's like absolutely huge games and indie games and not a lot in between. But it's like, you know, stuff like Destiny and now Anthem and like things like this, that everybody wants to make games like that, and everything has its own little niche. Everybody's got like, you know, there's a zombie game, there's a sci-fi game, there's a fantasy game, and it's like, you know, everybody's got one thing that kind of appeals to them specifically, and then like the next 8 games that are shown, you don't care about. And it's kind of a weird how, I don't know, what's the word? Just that everything's broken apart now.
Everyone's chasing the money in their little niches.
Yeah.
Well, if we're going to talk about focusing on games or games overstaying their welcome, how could we not address Smash Brothers Ultimate, which Nintendo, I know a lot of people like Smash Brothers. A lot of people like Pokemon. But that was so weak. I wouldn't be as offended if they weren't basically taking a game that came out on Wii U and updating it and focusing 45 minutes on it. Like, that is...
It wasn't quite ridiculous. 45. It was only like 30.
Yeah, well...
And it felt like I totally
2 hours.
Yeah, I must say, I love that I can just watch it on YouTube and skip huge sections when they try to pull shit like that.
Obviously, that extended thing is something they would normally do in a treehouse afterwards, like go through all the details.
But they did. Right after. Did you start watching the treehouse?
Yes, Treehouse is Mr. Rogers for adults. It's a snooze fest. I was... it's the most boring live television there is, and they basically did a treehouse in their presentation. People are going to buy Smash Brothers already. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
You know, I just realized, kind of just popped in my head. Sorry, I also don't want to talk about Smash Brothers anymore. But Call of Duty was MIA, even at Microsoft.
Well, they were at the Sony one, but during the intermission, they showed some clips.
Did they?
It was pretty lackluster, though. Not a big imprint whatsoever. And they announced, if you're a PlayStation Plus subscriber, Black Ops 3 is free this week. So, I agree. It was kind of surprising that they didn't have that much to show.
Mm-hmm. Does Activision do their own thing some other time now? Like, are they kind of like splitting off?
I don't think so. No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's another thing with E3. I guess there are some people have their own shows that they withhold announcements for and stuff like that. And obviously there's other things like Gamescom and stuff that people save announcements for. So you never know. But it was definitely pretty disappointing, but... What are you going to do? So should we get into each press conference then?
Deep dive it? Sure.
All right, let's do it.
Should we go in order of appearance?
Yeah, let's do it. Do you have the list over there? I do, yeah.
So it started off with EA.
Yep.
The first thing they talked about was the Battlefield 5 multiplayer stuff. That's what I have written down anyway, is a trailer. I have no impression of what they showed at the top of my head.
I feel the same way. It was a mess.
Any comments on that?
No comment here.
Let's move on then. Then they talked about the FIFA Champions League. Here's another example of overstaying their welcome. They talked about this Champions League for way too long. I mean, it's cool. It's probably awesome in Europe and everywhere else they play the football, but let's be honest, they were on stage for like 10 minutes talking about this FIFA Champions League thing. It's just too long. I don't know what they talked about. They didn't.
Well, they started by saying the current FIFA, I can't remember which order it was, but there's like two sides to it. It's that with the World Cup, FIFA 18 has been updated to get a World Cup update for free. And FIFA 19 is going to incorporate the Champions League for the first time. So, I mean, it's their biggest moneymaker in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It is a little long for me to be spending on it, considering very little changes year to year.
Yeah, well, you said it best right there, and it took you, what, 10 seconds? They spent 10 minutes on it, so. Moving on, the next thing they talked about was the games streaming from a cloud onto many devices, and this seems to be kind of a trend because Microsoft talked about this as well. So it seems like the publishers and platform holders are really starting to try to drive the industry to this game cloud streaming service that obviously Sony has also invested in with buying Gaikai and
PlayStation Now. They already have one.
Yeah, right? And having PlayStation Now. Yeah, right. So it's interesting that EA, which you wouldn't think of trying to create this kind of platform, though obviously with Origin, they can see themselves doing this. And I mean, EA has a huge game library that they can pull from. And if they kind of split off into their own ecosystem and start excluding people, I mean, you might want to pay for that service.
they kind of do already, right? Like all their games are on Origin. Yeah. To me, how I was looking at it was the value, which we've all talked about before, of EA Access. Mm-hmm. And it was more about how they're in the stages of pushing Access, not to a service where you have to download the game every time, but you would just have instant access to any game on that service, and that's their goal in the next few years, which I think would be cool. Sony's or Microsoft's was a little different. Theirs was more technology that they've developed to have games like get to start up, like a version you can start twice as fast from the Game Pass so that you can play them faster rather than waiting for the whole game to download. I mean, it's interesting, I guess, but I'm a fan of both of those subscriptions, so I'm all for more stuff like that.
I think there has been talk, though, that could be what the whole next generation is just streaming games.
Yeah.
And I think it, wasn't it?
The guy from Yves Guillemot, I think.
Yeah, he said something about that, and I mean...
Well, he's saying the next one after this one will
be
the last.
PS5, then streaming.
Okay, yeah.
I think is what he was saying.
I mean, it is interesting. Obviously, people have been trying to do it, and there still seems to be something holding it back. You know, there's still like latency issues and stuff, so I guess they have to figure that out. But, I mean, it just, in terms of mindset, you know, everything's going towards this idea of like a Netflix thing. You know, mm-hmm. Netflix has changed everybody's view of entertainment and content in general, and people just want to be able to have a library at their fingertips. So
yeah,
I think everything's going to go there eventually.
Well, and I mean the streaming aspect of it obviously isn't there yet, but I mean the digital libraries is definitely there. I mean, I almost, if I buy anything, it's definitely digital. I mean, Steam is all digital. I mean, Steam just sells boatloads of games. Mm-hmm. So I think as far as people being prepared to buy things online and have a digital-only copy, I think people are there for that. But I think the streaming aspect, like you're saying with the latency, I think that's not even necessarily on the platform holders. I think that's like an internet infrastructure type thing. It just has to be like, I think you got to wait until everyone's got, you know, fiber optics cables run into their houses and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, like I can't even get Steam Link working across my house, like, you know, like,
yeah, this guy's internet cuts out every 3 fucking minutes. Like I cannot see this cloud-based gaming. I cannot see it for another 20 years. You would be alienating fan bases in countries that don't have great, or areas of certain countries that don't have it. People who live in the country in Canada can't get good internet. I don't know if they know something we don't, but I think they're being way too optimistic.
Well, I was just going to say, the only thing I could think of is maybe this like PS5 generation just lasts like 40 years. And then they have kind of the streaming and the PS5 console that everyone, you know, if you can't do the streaming, you do that.
Maybe.
I mean, that would be a pain in the ass for developers. And the other thing from the developer aspect of a streaming system is that obviously if you're streaming, all you're sending to people is the picture and you're getting the input back. And maybe sending like input to them or something if you need to do Rumble or whatever. But with the only those limitations, you could essentially on the back end in the servers, you could make those computers as powerful as you want and as often as you want. So from developers, like, it would be basically like developing for a PC that just keeps getting more powerful and more powerful. And it might be really interesting to not have any, you know, what am I trying to say here?
Hardware requirements.
Yeah, hardware requirements. Yeah, exactly. Any limitations. But also, how would you ever make anything cutting edge and stay cutting edge? Because as soon as you put out your game, like, hardware is going to be increasing, and then other people are going to be coming out, you know, the next week with something even more cutting edge potentially. I mean, it's going to be an interesting time when you go to that streaming system and you don't have this sort of you know, 5 to 10 years of time to sort of master the hardware before you have to make a leap to new hardware. If it's just constantly iterating, it could be interesting to see how it goes. It might, I mean, once it gets to like ray tracing and super photorealistic looking games, really it's going to be all about the gameplay and the design more so than the graphics, because everything's just going to look amazing. And maybe that's where the streaming will really take off, is you're getting photorealistic ray traced real time images from these crazy server farms they have. And you just got to make a damn good game.
Yeah, the one thing I disagree with you on there, though, is
yep.
I don't think it'll change that much for developers. I think that any of the input stuff and however that's managed, on your development cycle, you would do it exactly the same. It's the service's responsibility, much like it is with PlayStation Now, converting games to be streaming, that they handle the input and lag and all that stuff. You make a game as if a controller is attached to a device running it, and it's up to them, and the service that emulate that process the best will be the winners in that race.
Yeah, I was more thinking from like an amount of memory usage and the performance of the CPUs and stuff and the GPUs. Like, if that stuff's constantly getting updated, how do you sort of like set benchmarks based on how much you can fit in your game? You know, if you have a 3 or 4 year dev cycle, you got to be, you're just kind of guessing at how big your game can be and how much stuff you can fit, you know, when in memory.
It's almost like you have to build your game to be scalable.
Yeah.
Like knowing that the hardware is going to be increasing over time.
And yeah, yeah. And you got to build in like a lot of level of detail, like LODs all over the place. And just, you know, if the hardware can support more, you just load more or whatever. I don't know how you control it. It would be kind of tricky technically if you want it to look the best and be able to scale up dynamically.
Yeah, well, so I don't know. That could be what we're looking at down the road. But I think it might happen sooner than you think, Frank, just because everybody is working on some form of that right now. So
not going to happen, bud. I can't even get Netflix to watch a movie. Imagine that experience with a game. I don't live in the middle of nowhere. I live in a thriving metropolis. There is no chance. There is no chance this service will be usable. You know, gamers complain about everything. You think they're going to accept that? Impossible. If servers don't work on the night a game's released, people boycott the game. If they can't play it without interruptions, and forget it.
I think most people out there would tell you that Netflix works perfectly and they don't have any issues with it. So I think, you know, it'll get there.
And I tried the PlayStation Now, like, I don't know, 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, and it was pretty decent. I mean, there was definitely some input lag, but I'm assuming it's been improved since then, and internet connections have probably gotten better. I think it's possible. I definitely don't think it's in the next 5 years or even 10 years, but I can see it happening.
You're dreaming, boys. Take a look at, even just in terms of internet for us as consumers at home, has there been that many, like, have you seen an exponential, like, evolution of the quality of your home internet experience since 1999? I certainly have not.
Well, if you're willing to pay for it, the fiber is pretty incredible.
I have fiber. Do you still have it? Yeah, I don't have the highest bandwidth, but I mean, people aren't going to pay for the... Anyway, I don't think internet technology is evolving at the rate of other technologies.
Mm-hmm. And also the caps are going to really destroy anyone's ability to play a long time. Not that you're sending a ton of information, but I mean, you are essentially downloading like a movie constantly.
Yeah, but aren't caps just a Canadian thing?
I don't think so. I think they're in the States too.
I think there's a lot of unlimited internet access in the States, but I could be wrong.
I hope I'm wrong about all this stuff. I just don't see it happening. All right, this isn't even part of E3. Let's...
Okay. Well, we did have a question about this, so it's kind of a good discussion. The next thing they talked about was the Origin Access Premier subscription, which is all new games for free, including Madden on PC, which is the first time Madden's been on PC in, like, I don't know, 15 years or something.
Yeah.
And that comes out later this summer. And so that's kind of interesting because that's kind of like the Game Pass idea that Microsoft has. And I don't think Sony's announced anything along those lines yet.
Not yet.
I don't think they will. I think their first party games sell way too well. It wouldn't be cost advantageous for them to do that.
Yeah, yeah. Especially when you say a game like Nier selling like 3 million or 3.5 million or whatever it is. And that, I mean, that's not technically even first party and not even exclusive. I mean, that was on PC too, so.
And it's coming out for Xbox this summer.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Anything more to say about that? I guess not.
No.
I
was curious how much it would be because we pay $30 a year for EA Access for old games.
Yeah.
Apparently they announced it. It's $14.99 per month or $99 per year.
That's so pretty reasonable. Pretty damn reasonable.
It's more than... I mean, if you're a sports fan, you'd probably buy it, but it's definitely more than Xbox Game Pass.
Yes, but Xbox doesn't exactly have any awesome games right now.
I get it.
Yeah, Game Pass is... I mean, they need to put some big titles in there, and then I think...
Yeah, I mean, filling it out with Halo 1, 2, 3, and 4 is not really going to do it.
Yeah.
Okay, then they... talked briefly about that new Star Wars game. I guess they announced the title, technically. Jedi Fallen Empire.
Fallen Order, I believe.
Fallen Order. Okay.
Another terrible moment at E3.
So, I don't know why. Yeah, it seemed like a kind of a waste. They're not even showing any concept art or anything. They're just talking to the guy from Respawn.
That was a huge game that I was like, wow, they're not even going to show. Like, they just gave us a title. That's it. Like, not even a teaser image or logo.
Metroid,
like,
you didn't even Metroid 4 that shit.
Yeah.
And weren't we already aware, assumption or otherwise, that I thought we already knew Respawn was working on a Star Wars game?
I think we did.
Yeah.
But now we know the title. And we know that it's set in between episode 3 and 4 or whatever. Right. And you're a Jedi. So I guess you got a little more nuggets to chew on.
Yep.
Before they put in the loot boxes. Then they had a super long section where they talked about Star Wars Battlefront 2 and some new modes and stuff. Dogfighting mode, Clone Wars characters... some sort of new squad system, Han Solo mode. I don't know. I haven't played Battlefield 2 except for maybe an hour of the solo part on the when you get the 10-hour free pass through EA Access.
Yeah, pretty much same.
And I don't know. I see Dax playing it occasionally still, but I have no interest in jumping on. So this announcement did nothing for me. And
yeah. I wasn't aware of that new Ewok hunt mode, which kind of seems cool, so I might check that out.
Yeah, I mean, like, there was some cool stuff, but it definitely felt like, and I don't know if we want to get into this now, but, like, the audience reaction at the EA press conference, like, you could tell people were just not on EA's side, and that stuff in particular to me was just, like... it was awkward almost, like, you know.
It always is. It was like that last year. They have this, like, bias against EA, so they don't clap at their stuff unless they genuinely feel it's clap-worthy. I mean, you're having a conversation. You're an audience. You're at an E3. They pause for claps. Just clap. Don't be a dick. Like, it's, you know why you're there. You're there to be an audience to a show where they're showing stuff, and I guess EA doesn't, I don't know if they don't have these rabid fans or ship them in like Xbox and Sony. That could be a mistake. But if it's just the games press there, they are just so cynical. Oh, that's the worst. I hate it.
So does anybody know what sales for Battlefront 2 were like? Has that been out there?
I have no idea.
Because I'm very curious. Like, it does seem like the bad press just destroyed them. Like, like some people are picking up the game now, and especially it's been pretty cheap.
It definitely doesn't have the same buzz as the first one.
No. So, yeah, I honestly don't know if people are playing that game or if people kind of just swore it off and are done with it. But
my guess would be it has made money.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it has. I'm sure it's sold at least a couple million. Should we move on?
Yep, keep going.
Unravel 2. Now, this announcement was a little weird because they had a trailer, and then the guy came out and talked for a long time, and then they showed another trailer on the tail end with a gameplay. And I was really surprised at how much time they spent on this game, considering I don't think the first one really did. I mean, obviously the first one did well enough, but I don't think that it did so well that it made you would give them like 10 minutes on stage at an E3 presser.
Yeah, I guess.
I know you like it, right?
I do. I think the reviews on it were definitely mixed, but it must have sold well enough that they decided to make a sequel. But I think it is also a franchise that EA can kind of put out there and be like, hey, we're supporting indie development. And so maybe that's why they, you know, made it a centerpiece of their press conference. It was pretty cool that they were like, boom, it's available now. I mean, like that's the thing you're always asking for, Frank. And, I mean, between that and like, I guess Hollow Knight on Switch, that was like the only other thing that kind of happened this year.
Yeah, I mean, if it's, you have to understand this. When I say it's available now, it's got to be something major. Like it can't be an indie game that wasn't on anyone's radar or something. Like
can't be Trials of the Blood Dragon.
It's got to be like Spider-Man.
You've got to drop a bomb. Like when they announced Saturn is available, they announced the Sega Saturn and it was available that week. That's a bomb. Now it might have bombed financially. I don't know if that's because of the E3 announcement. But if Rockstar announced Red Dead is out the day of these other press conferences, people would have lost their mind.
People would have left E3 to go download it.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, is Unravel technically part of the EA Origins program? Is that maybe why they gave it so much time? It's kind of like the first one out of that program. They're trying to hype it up.
I don't know.
Because I know A Way Out was. And they talked about that slightly.
I mean, it is a co-op game, so maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, so then after Unravel...
Oh, sorry, it's EA Originals.
EA Originals. Yeah. So then after Unravel 2, they did that also quite long section on Sea of Solitude.
Right.
Yeah. So that game looked like it had a fairly interesting art style, but it was really hard to get a feel for what that game was. And I don't know, it almost looked a little clunky in the parts that did look like gameplay. I don't know. Did you guys have any thoughts on that one?
No, I'd have to play it. It came off kind of like Unravel, kind of whiny indie stuff.
Yeah, it almost had the same art style as that like Gravity Rush game Sony has.
Yeah, a little bit.
Kind of similar.
I thought it looked cool, but I agree that the way it was presented, it was a little confusing. And I think, you know, it was just another example of EA wanting to be like, look at the passion of these people, you know, like it was kind of part of their agenda.
I totally agree. It's just EA has a heart. We're not a soulless corporation. Look at these two games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that being said, I would be very interested to see more of it. So
did that other EA Originals game come out like Fife or Fife or whatever it's called?
Faye. It did? Yes.
Faye? It's out already? Okay. Yep. So then after that Sea of Solitude, they went on to like show briefly that NBA Live 19 is coming out with some sort of like street ball focus or something.
Mm-hmm.
They did a Madden 19 trailer with some esports guy that I don't think anyone cared about. in the whole thing. And then they had a super long section about the Command & Conquer Rivals mobile game. I don't know why they spent so much time on that. Like, E3 is not really mobile-focused, in my opinion. I don't know why they spent so much time on a... I mean, other than that, it's the return of Command & Conquer, but...
Yeah, well, I guess that's what made it a big deal, but they didn't say it was Command & Conquer until the very end, right?
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people just tuned out and were like,
yeah, I know, I sure did.
Well, there is, like, a shareholder aspect to E3 as well, right? And the, like, Todd Howard said, Fallout Shelter has been played more than any of their other games. So there's, like, an install base with mobile that they're trying to get access to. I think except for Sony, every conference had mobile stuff that they talked about. So I was way too long. I cannot disagree with that.
And then the last thing they did was that Anthem deep dive, which I did not watch.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of it, but
it was very similar to last year's Anthem gameplay demo. It felt really similar. So I am excited for that game. I think it looks really cool. Glad to see it's coming out relatively soon, and it didn't elevate or change where I was with that game at all.
I watched like a little bit as I was kind of skipping through YouTube, and I must say, recently I've been playing a lot of Mass Effect Andromeda, and I must say this game looks almost identical to Mass Effect Andromeda. And if you could actually take off in Andromeda and fly around, I almost feel like they would be the same game. Whereas in Andromeda, you just kind of jump up and then come down. But even sound effects and UI, very, very similar to what I saw. So, I don't know.
I will say one thing. The way they explained the idea of how they're going to integrate story with multiplayer, of having a hub with single player based stuff and quests and where they evolve the story, I think similar to what they did for their online Star Wars game. I prefer that, and like I never really got excited about the story elements of Destiny when I played it. So if they could do that better than most of those types of games, it would make me more excited to play it.
All right, that was it for the EA. Next was Microsoft.
Should we give star ratings?
Star ratings. No.
Yeah, no, I mean, my only comment, I thought it wasn't that great. Obviously, I did like the Unravel 2 announcement. But, you know, I do kind of feel that people are a little unfair with EA sometimes. And it's too bad. But I get it. I just, you know, I try to be open to whatever. Like, I think there's good EA games, and I thought they showed some cool stuff. But, I mean, I don't really hold EA up to the same level as, like, the Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo press conferences either. Like, I feel like EA, Ubisoft, and, you know, Square Enix, those other ones,
they're like B-tier.
Yeah, like, I don't expect them to, you know, bowl me over, really. So, and they started the whole thing, so it was kind of like, you know, the excitement of E3 is just getting started. So I wasn't too hard on them. It was fine. But
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Any other comments there? Closing comments there, Frank?
No.
Okay. Microsoft started off with the Halo Infinite tease, and don't have much to say. There wasn't much there, but it does kind of imply like it's going back to the original kind of Halo ring type look.
Yeah.
My impression was open world Halo.
Yeah.
I have to say, like, the rhinoceros looking type creature in that, there's a herd of them. It didn't look that great. I think their goal was to show the Slipspace engine in real time. And I know we've said watching a cinema or a pre-rendered cinema does nothing for us. this was almost in between. I didn't know if it was pre-rendered or like in game, and I don't know. It just kind of fell into meh territory for me. Obviously, they needed to announce something with Halo. The only thing that kind of gives them to me a free pass on this announcement is announcing a new Gears game so soon, where another major franchise is getting an entry before Halo. If they had not had the Gears announcement and that was their only major franchise material, I think it could have been really bad.
Yeah, I mean, I was listening to some commentary and everyone was saying that opening with Halo was a great idea, but I found that teaser kind of boring to begin with. It showed a lot of animals, a lot of landscapes, and then just at the very end, you see sort of like the Halo ring and then the Master Chief helmet. So then you know what it is. But I mean, before that, I had negative hype on whatever that was, and then I kind of bumped up a little bit. So I don't know.
I think it was really smart because it isn't that great. It's just announcing a name of a game. So getting it out of the way at the beginning and people are still settling and watching, I feel like saving your biggest announcement for the end is the way to go. And I think just acknowledging Halo and now here's a bunch of other games that we're going to actually show stuff for. So by the time it's over, Halo was a lingering thought in my mind. I thought that was a good way to do it.
But don't you think that's kind of weird for Halo to treat it like that?
Not when they don't have anything to show.
Well, then why show it, though?
Because they're showing that they are working on one, which they have to do at this point. I mean, to go along the lines of Pachter, you know 343 is working on a Halo game. I'll say this. They showed more of what it is than the Elder Scrolls teaser by Bethesda, or even take a punch at one of my own games, Neo 2 for PlayStation. So there was a little bit more than most games, and they didn't, to me, didn't hang their whole conference on it. It was just a cool intro rather than a showcase.
All right, well, I guess I put the Halo game in general, I guess, on a higher stage than Elder Scrolls and Neo 2. I mean, Halo is like the Microsoft property, and it almost just looks like they're chasing Destiny with that trailer. And to just kind of throw it out there haphazardly, like here's a bunch of rhinoceros looking things in some environments. Oh, and there's Master Chief. It seems like they're doing a disservice to it to me. But I mean, I agree with you, announcing it could have been good. I don't think it was. I think they should have done something more to announce it. They could have shown Ori first and cut that out and not shown it at all. And I think it would have been the exact same conference.
I think, you know, Halo is so closely tied to Microsoft. People were expecting it, and it's kind of
you're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah, exactly. I think they had to announce something, but I do feel that it's kind of like with that franchise, I don't know where they could go with it now that would get me, like, I'll probably still buy it, but like Halo is kind of dropped in terms of excitement for me, and I don't know what they can do to revitalize that.
Give them an axe.
Maybe. Well,
I agree, but if anything, this was, maybe I'm reading too much into this, this was a push into where I want it to go. All the elements I see in this game remind me of Halo Reach, which in my mind is the best Halo game there ever was. It had varied vehicle combat, worlds with that felt like they were inhabited rather than spaceships and stuff like that. Reach was amazing, and this felt closer to Reach than any Halo game since then.
You know why Reach was the best one? It's because it was the last one developed by Bungie.
It's possible.
So after Halo, they went into Ori 2 teaser. Frank, you going to gush about it?
I don't have a ton to say about it. I mean, obviously, some of their art, technical aspects have improved a great deal. Like, it seems like their cutscenes have more depth. And I think it was originally 3D models for Ori and some of the characters, but it seems like they've added a little more depth to those. Mm-hmm. I'm excited. It wasn't a huge leap by any means. I didn't have my mind blown. It was what I would expect it to be, and I'm still looking forward to playing it.
Yeah, I listened to an interview, I think it was on Giant Bomb, with two of the guys from the team, and they were saying that they redid the whole lighting engine, and they actually redid combat and physics, and now they were saying that a lot of the complaints were about the combat in the first game, so they've gone back and kind of made a big focus on combat. So like after this teaser, I wasn't that excited. I mean, obviously it looked nice, but after hearing their conversation, I would be probably more interested in Ori than I was after the Microsoft presser, because the combat is what I really thought fell flat in Ori 1. So,
I mean, the trailer showed some new attack types and stuff, I thought, but I'm looking forward to it. I guess I was a little disappointed. I thought maybe it might be coming this year, but I guess that's not happening.
Yep.
So that they showed that new ninja game, Sekiro, whatever that one, whatever the subtitle is.
Shadows Die Twice, from Software, but published by Activision, which is interesting.
Yeah, so this obviously looks like a cross between Nioh and Dark Souls.
But it's weird. It's a little more action-y, I think. Like, they were climbing using grappling hooks. It seems like it's a more action-based game than like the way you play other From Software games. So that'll be interesting. I mean, for me, I'm way more interested in Nioh 2, but I think I like the art in Nioh 1 better than what I saw in this game, and the bosses and enemies I saw. To me, the stuff in the first Nioh is way better than this game too.
Yeah. And that wasn't very long, that teaser. So then they went and they announced that Fallout 4 was coming to Game Pass, and that they did the Fallout 76 announcement. Or was it already announced at this time?
Yes.
It had been announced.
Yeah. Okay, so this is like the trailer or whatever, teaser.
Mm-hmm.
Should we just save that for Bethesda, yeah. I guess?
Yeah.
And then they showed the Captain Spirit free game.
The Awesome Adventures of Captain Spirit.
Yeah.
I didn't know what this was. I guess it's a tie-in to...
it's in the Life
is Strange
universe.
I suspect that the kid is her son. And it's like he's developing some other kind of power. And this will kind of be a tie-in game to Life is Strange Season 3 or whatever they're going to do.
Huh.
I played Life is Strange most of the first one. I need to finish it. But for some reason, both times this game came up in a press conference, I just looked away. I couldn't even look at it. I don't know why.
Well, they didn't. What they
like? I'm out on this. This is bothering me for some reason. Yeah, I don't know what it is.
What they showed was kind of weird, actually. Like, it was almost just like this long trailer of this kid kind of just playing in his imagination, and it seemed like it kind of overstayed its welcome. And they kind of implied that maybe his imagination can manifest in the real world, but I don't think it ever really explicitly said that in the trailer. So, I mean, what's this game even about? I mean, Life is Strange was an adventure game mainly about like communicating with people and doing the occasional time manipulation, where this game looks almost like complete opposite of that. So hard to say.
It's free.
Yeah. And that was the other thing. It's weird that it's free.
But I think it's going to be just a short, and I think, well, it is weird that it's not more explicitly in that universe, because you would think if they're giving away for free, it's to promote Life is Strange, but...
Yeah, or to say...
I think it's pretty explicit. They said right at the beginning, a new game in the Life is Strange universe, and the art style is, like, identical.
Yeah, but you think they would then, like, announce Life is Strange Season 3 or something, or 3, along with it, coming, like, you know, a couple... days down the road, but maybe they say something in the game. They expect people to play it because it's free, I guess.
Yeah, I think so.
Or maybe it has tons of microtransaction and loot boxes in it. And that's how they're going to make their money. But there was no mention of it being in Game Pass or anything, which was the other weird thing. It's just kind of free. Like, Ubisoft's just putting it out there, which is weird.
Square Enix, I think.
Oh, Square Enix, right. So then they did that Crackdown 3 teaser. I think this game just needs to go away.
It just got delayed, right?
Yeah, 2019, I think, now.
Yeah, which is going to be a huge blow for them. Like,
yeah, I don't know why they're putting that on stage. And for some reason, I didn't feel like that trailer was much different than the trailer we saw last E3. So, strange. But maybe it was too late to pull it.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I agree. I was not impressed.
Yeah. Then they talked about Nier Automata coming to Xbox.
That's cool.
They showed Metro. I didn't really watch this. I can't remember what it was showing. Metro.
Yeah. It wasn't as good as last year's demo, but it looks cool.
Yeah. And then they showed the first of many Kingdom Hearts 3 trailers.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
We'll probably just say we don't want to see that trailer ever again. Go on from there.
Are you a fan of the other Kingdom Hearts games?
I played the first one, I think. And I don't recall really loving it. I recall it being quite clunky. But I know they've remade it like 4 times now. And the Sony announced that they're going to pack the remakes into their version. So maybe I'll get that out of the old library and give those old ones a spin.
Well, yeah. I don't know if that's not the case. It's a digital bundle, so you still have to. It's, I think, $133 for the three game bundle on the PlayStation Network right now, and I believe it's the same price on the Xbox Store as well.
Oh, they'll do a disc that I can get at the library, I'm sure.
No way.
Come on.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've never played any of the games. It's kind of intrigued just because of how ridiculous that crossover is with all the Disney stuff mashed up with the Final Fantasy stuff.
Yeah. Whatever.
But, I mean, I'm not a Final Fantasy guy, really, so I probably... Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's any chance.
Well,
it's
more like
anything.
An action RPG than like a turn-based.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, probably. it's more button-mashy.
Then maybe that could be something I...
But
I played the original on PlayStation 2. I bought the remaster on PlayStation 3. Started playing it. It's so slow.
Yeah, that's what I recall.
The jumping is so clunky and annoying. I love the concept, like mashing up Disney with Kingdom Hearts. I always have. I think it looks amazing. The Disney models look so good in those games. But I just... There's something about the presentation, the music... Whenever it cuts to these trailers, it feels like I'm in another world. And it's kind of cool, but by the end of this E3, I am so sick of Kingdom Hearts 3.
Yeah.
Unless the reviews are like a 9.5, I will wait to check it out, I think.
The only thing I can see from the trailer is that it did seem like there was quite a lot of variation in gameplay. They had kind of like the snowboarding section. They had some other weird looking gameplay type things. So they took kind of like a Mario gameplay standpoint where they just have a ton of unique little vignettes of gameplay. It might be pretty interesting to play that game and it might keep it flowing through the whole thing, but it's hard to say. I recall maybe. The first game being super long too.
Yeah. I'm actually, let's get into this very quickly. I'm kind of offended by Kingdom Hearts. Like the fact that they have Kingdom Hearts 1, Kingdom Hearts 1.5, Kingdom Hearts Remix, Kingdom Hearts 2.8, Kingdom Hearts 2, these stupid entries and numbers. You might think I might like that. That sounds like something Frank might like.
I think you missed the worst one. It's like 365 over 2 days.
Yeah, that was the PSP one dot this. It's like that shit makes me so angry. When I see those titles, it makes you want to strangle someone.
But like, what's the deal? Are they all just like remastered different versions of the same game, or are they all?
You can't tell unless you're a diehard fan.
Yeah, I have no idea because I've seen them around and I've heard those titles.
I think all the like half steps are remakes or like
3DS games that were converted to other systems and all. It's
but I think that like 3.5 days over 25 days or whatever it is. I think that one is like its own kind of like half step game in between one and two or something. I don't know.
Hmm. Okay.
And please in the comments, don't feel the need to explain it. I don't care. I can go to Wikipedia. This is just my feelings.
Then they talked about Sea of Thieves DLC. I think there was two they talked about.
Yeah.
July and October or something like that. Any comments on those? Frank, you said you played Sea of Thieves. I don't know.
No, I haven't. I want to. I want to play with. I want to play online with some people. I haven't had a chance. Looks good. I'm glad to see they're supporting it. I think they have a long way to go with some of the game mechanics to make it like stay in the long run. But I got to say, we'll get there. But Skull and Bones from Ubisoft already looks like a better version of that game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then they showed some Battlefield 5. I don't recall exactly what they showed. So I'll just skip it. Then they showed Horizon 4, which looks pretty cool. And this, they talked about how they're going to have different seasons that roll over every week, I think. Something like that. So that's kind of neat. Kind of changes the driving conditions dynamically. That comes out October 2nd, and it's going to be in the Game Pass as well.
I love that. I'm the idea of like lakes freezing over and different areas. I think that's a cool idea, and I love that series. I think it's my favorite racing series, so I am excited for that game.
Yeah, I still pop on Horizon 1 that is in the Xbox Games with Gold still and play that every once in a while. It's still great, and that was who knows how long ago, six years ago or something.
Yeah, I played the shit out of Horizon 1. I think it's actually my favorite. It's the least it's the least complicated. It is the with each entry they start adding more and more stuff and weird user driven features that I don't care about at all. I just want to play.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Horizon's like the arcadey one and Motorsport's the more realistic one, sim.
Correct. Yeah. Okay.
So then they announced that they've purchased a bunch of studios, or they formed a new studio called The Initiative, and I think they said it was based out of Santa Monica, which I think is pretty interesting because there's a lot of really big name studios in that area.
Yeah, they're looking to steal some talent.
They're going
to
be poaching. Yeah. They're going to be poaching in a big way, and I think that's cool. I mean, I'm sure people from like Sony Santa Monica are a little tired of working on God of War, so they'll probably, you know, there'll be some middle rung people that want to jump up to senior positions, and there'll be a bunch of people jumping ship. So that'll be interesting. Then they announced they acquired Undead Labs, which does State of Decay, I believe.
Yeah.
Playground Games, which does the Horizon or the Forza.
Yep.
Then Ninja Theory, which was quite surprising because Ninja Theory has been pretty tightly tied to Sony. And then Compulsion Games, our friends Compulsion Games in Montreal, doing We Happy Few, so that's exciting too. And right after this, they showed the We Happy Few trailer and announced that it's going to be out August 10th. And do you guys have any comments on the new studios? I think that's pretty exciting that Microsoft is actually making an effort to get some games into their library.
Yeah, they have to. I mean, there was rumors they were going to buy the PUBG or whatever, whoever makes that. So that didn't happen. I was more aware of the rumored acquisitions that didn't come true. The big one is Valve. There's been rumors they're trying to buy Valve.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's funny because Valve just bought the Campo Santo people, the guys who did the Firewatch game.
Yeah. So, I mean, it could be completely rumor. I had just read it somewhere. So, but the one that was really a surprise was Ninja Theory. I think that's a good one. They make good games.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it is interesting even just that stuff was announced at E3. Like, usually that's kind of businessy stuff that you wouldn't announce on stage, but
I kind of like seeing that on stage myself, but I mean, we're obviously more in the industry than gamers, so
I think it's a good move for them.
Yeah.
So.
And I mean, the Forza guys, I almost assumed they were already with Microsoft.
I was going to say the same thing. I mean, Forza is like the only, you know, aside from Halo and Gears, is the only other Microsoft exclusive franchise I can think of.
Well, I think the Forza, it's Forza, gentlemen. The Forza Motorsport is Microsoft. Horizon, that's Turn 10. This one is Playground. They just did Horizon, I think. So,
Okay,
that makes sense. So the brand Forza is Microsoft, and then they have the two studios making the two different games. Okay,
I believe so.
That makes sense. Then they showed something about PUBG. I think they announced like an actual release day for a full game, maybe, because I think it's still in early access or whatever you call it. Maybe they talked about some new maps. I don't know. Does anyone here play PUBG or Fortnite?
Not really. It was mostly new map information, I think.
Okay. Sean, yeah, do you dabble?
I'm not. I haven't yet. I mean, maybe at some point I will check it out. But
yeah,
I have played both in a limited capacity. Mm.
It just, you know, for me, it's anything like this. I would play with a group of friends. I would never just go online and play against random people.
Yeah. Yeah. Then they talked about Tales of Vesperia, which is an RPG I'm pretty sure has been out for a long time. And they showed The Division 2, a teaser. And I wrote down that it was a great teaser. I can't remember exactly what happened. I think it was just, I don't know.
It's like started in a jungle kind of thing. And
yeah, I think it introduced that it was in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, I think
right?
It was, I recall it being like red and black or something and having some weird things going on. And I wrote down here, I hate co-op gameplay trailers. So maybe there's a co-op gameplay trailer along with it. I can't remember where the people are walking and talking super slow through that museum. That might have been this.
And like the actors are like, hey, Paul, we should check this out over here.
Yeah. Hey, let me just try to shoot this down. Oh, got it. Yeah. Oh, like so stupid. Why even put that in there?
It's more like, Sean, where are you? What the fuck are you doing? You were obviously supposed to go this way.
Holy Why the hell are you shit. Walking so slow? Hit the run button, goddammit. Yeah. And then they talked about that fast start thing we kind of mentioned before for Game Pass. They talked about adding a Halo collection, and then all new games are going to be in the Game Pass, which I think they had already announced that was going to be. But the fast start thing is interesting because games are just becoming monsters right now. You know, a downloadable game is like 40 to 60 gigs, not including the patches that are also monstrous usually.
Yeah. That is also, I think, a factor in driving to cloud-based systems. Mm-hmm.
Sure, yeah. I imagine the bandwidth is not cheap. Then they had some sort of indie sizzle reel. I didn't write anything down to what was in there.
Was Tunic part of that, or was it its own thing?
It's later.
Okay.
Or maybe this was... and then they showed Tomb Raider, announced it's coming September 14th, or that might have been already out. They showed that Session skateboarding game,
which everyone thought was Skate 4, and it wasn't.
Yeah.
It seems to be the general consensus.
Yeah, I was surprised they didn't show more. If you're going to announce a skateboarding title, you'd think you'd want to maybe try to show what's different about it, then, especially when everyone's going to think it's Skate 4.
Well, like, is it the spiritual successor, though, or is it like a totally different studio? And
I think it's a different studio. I'm not sure. Then they announced Black Desert, which was some sort of MMORPG type game, which I'd never heard of, and I haven't heard anyone talking about since. Devil May Cry 5 teaser, which I thought looked pretty good. I'm not really a huge Devil May 5 Cry person.
I don't know why I really liked this trailer. I thought it was kind of goofy, and I thought the character models like had an art style, but were super realistic at the same time. I don't know. I really liked the Devil May Cry 5 trailer.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think this game is being developed by the people who made the original three, because they made, I think, Devil May Cry 1, 2, and 3, and then they kind of handed off the property to some other people. They made that like DMC game.
Ninja Theory.
And then, yeah, so now I think this is them back in the series. Then they showed the Cuphead DLC, which I'm probably the biggest Cuphead fan here, but I'm not the biggest DLC person. And I think they announced it for 2019.
Yes.
Which seems quite far off for DLC to be announced. Because it's, I mean, even if it comes out in January, that's still 6 months away, which seems like a long time for DLC. But, I mean, that art has got to take some time to do.
Yeah. Well, like that's, and it's a small team, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, it looks like Session is, I mean, it's a small indie studio called Creature, I believe. And I think it was like actually Creature Studios. They're in Montreal. And it was like a Kickstarter thing at one point.
It is, but it isn't the one. I think there's another one that is specifically people who worked on the game Skate. I don't think this is the same one.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay. Cuphead DLC, yeah, I mean, they showed, I think, another playable character. No, I'm not really that interested in it. It'll be interesting to see what the new puzzles are and stuff, but I can see myself picking it up because I really enjoyed the first one. Then it was the Tunic game, which is basically Zelda isometric with that sort of cartoony, pastel-y art style, and you're a fox that is wearing Link's tunic and has Link's sword and opens chests like Link and cuts trees like Link, climbs things like Link.
Yeah, I mean,
probably shouts everything Link says. All the same enemies Link faces.
Yep.
Except it's isometric. So, yeah. Gonna buy that one, Dwight?
I definitely will.
Yep, me too.
I mean, it looked really good, but it was obviously the most blatant ripoff.
It reminded me a little bit of that 3D.GameHeroes game.
Yeah.
Remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
Which yeah.
Pretty much is all.
I love how when everything rips off Metroid, they're Metroidvania, and then everything rips off Zelda, and they're trashed, put through the ringer.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this is literally he's wearing the exact same stuff.
Symphony of the Night ripped off Metroid completely, and it got its name attached to the genre.
He doesn't have a gun. He's not a woman.
No. No, no, no. The design structure is exactly the same.
Then they announced...
I'm calling it Zelda Tunicia type games from now on. It's...
All right. Do it.
A hybrid.
See if it picks up.
It will not.
They announced Jump Force, which I think if I recall was some sort of fighting game.
It's a mashup of all the Dragon Ball and Snores. I was...
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought. Dying Light 2. Did you guys play Dying Light 1?
No.
It was actually pretty interesting. It was like kind of like a parkour action zombie game. It was actually pretty good. I didn't play all of it, obviously, but I played some of it. And
that was one presentation I thought overstayed its welcome about you make a decision. Those decisions will matter. This is just... one decision. Yeah, we know. We play video games. Jesus Christ.
And then, did they bring out a guy to talk about... Yeah, they did.
Yeah, that's the decision.
Yeah.
You make a decision. Help them
get off the stage.
Fight them. Like every other game ever made. Mm-hmm.
Then they threw up that Battletoads tease.
Oh, yeah.
And then they showed the Just Cause 4 Tornado demo. And... announced is going to come out December 4th. Yeah, that Just Cause 4 demo was basically just Tornado Simulator. I don't know if you guys noticed, but almost every scene had a gigantic tornado in it and cars flying everywhere. I don't know if they were trying to show off their like dynamic physics or something, but I found it hilarious that there were so many tornadoes wherever they are.
Just Cause is a series. I don't know who plays it or how it exists, but people must.
Yeah, I would say so. Gears Pop Mobile, they announced.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And did they really show anything about it?
No.
I don't think so, eh? They just kind of announced it. And then they showed Gears Tactics, which actually I think could be really interesting, that game. I think if they do like an XCOM type treatment with Gears overlay, I think there's enough there and enough depth to
Isn't
be kind of cool.
Basically Halo Wars though, like
I think so, I but there's cool so. Stuff with Gears. Like think of the strategy of like a or what do they call the sinkholes, and
you throw like the grenades in them and
yeah
stuff?
Like managing those, and I think it's a pretty cool universe to put that gameplay on.
Yeah, and I think Halo Wars was a real-time strategy, whereas this is more like turn-based.
Hmm.
It's more like a Fire Emblem XCOM-y type game rather than you got it like StarCraft, not like StarCraft.
Right. Yeah, no, that does sound more interesting.
Then they showed Gears 5, or the little story thing. I actually just took out Gears 4 from the library and was playing it, and then they announced this, so I'm trying to catch up.
I was going to fire that up. Remember how we were going to play Gears
yes.
of 1?
Yeah.
We should play Gears of 4 co-op.
We should. I'm on Chapter 2. You can join me.
Who gets the achievements?
I don't know. You can have them if you want. I'll just
I think we both are. I'm just joking. I'll try to catch up to Chapter 2.
All right. Let's do it.
But so I thought the big thing with this announcement is that it's just called Gears. It's not Gears of War. Is that not true?
Oh, I don't know. Was that an official title?
Gears 5? I've seen it referred to as Gears of War 5 in a few places, but I think all the press materials, it's just Gears 5. And like the trailer title is just Gears 5 on YouTube.
Yeah, I think they're going to like a Gears branding, so it's Gears Pop, Gears Tactics, Gears 5.
Well, I guess you're right.
And we may have someone we can ask those questions to directly.
What's that?
I believe our friend Matt Raimondo has announced he was working on some of that marketing material.
Yeah, I always wasn't clear on what stuff specifically he was working on, but I thought he was working on Forza stuff.
Definitely Gears was in one of his pictures, and he had previous pictures with the chainsaw gun.
Hmm. Nice.
I know a girl I used to work with, Jesse Lamb, is working on it. She's doing storyboarding or something for it. I could get the inside scoop, maybe.
Yeah, man.
Find out if it's Gears or Gears of War. That's what we really need to know, right?
That's all we care about.
And then they showed the Cyberpunk 2077 trailer-y thing.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Which I assume you guys are creaming for.
I'm definitely excited. I will say, I mean, I haven't played any of the Witcher games, but I hear they're amazing. And for me, fantasy stuff is okay, but you know, sci-fi, cyberpunk city would be much more interesting to explore. And from what I've read, it's like a very impressive city that feels very alive. So, I mean, it sounds cool. It's hard to tell from the trailer exactly, but.
Yeah, I think actually the trailer made me less interested in it, to tell you the truth. It looked a little too overwhelming almost to me. And I find, like, I've played a bit of The Witcher 3, and those games, I mean, they ramp it up so nicely. I'm sure it'll be ramped up fine for this. But definitely was giving me the whole, like, Neuromancer, jack into the system vibe.
Yeah. So are The Witcher games like action RPGs, or are they?
They've kind of morphed. So like the original Witcher was like PC only, almost like point and click combat, closer to like Diablo.
Okay.
Than like action combat, like an action game. Then The Witcher 2 was more closer to action, where I think in The Witcher 1 you could literally just say like attack that guy. And he would just attack until he was dead. I think with Witcher 2, you kind of had to be more active, but it was still mouse, I think, only. And then Witcher...
Well, it was controller-based, like, action.
Did they?
On the Xbox, yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. And then The Witcher 3 was, like, full-fledged, just, like, combat game.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah, that was it for Microsoft. Overall, lots of games.
Yeah,
pretty
I
good
mean,
showing.
Clearly, I mean, we went through a lot of stuff there. Did you mention the next Xbox?
No, thing? I didn't. No.
I mean, they
consoles
kind of just mentioned that, yes, we're working on the next Xbox. But then there was a story that I think came out a day later that it's supposedly being targeted for 2020.
Really?
Yeah. Now, I don't know how reliable that is, but...
I mean, if they're just forming these studios and the other, you know, the other studios are radio silent, that maybe makes sense that they're all ramping up for a new platform to come out. And they're all just going to hit the ground running on that, but...
I'm pretty sure Halo Infinite is going to be on the new one.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that would make sense. Now, one Microsoft property that I'm a little curious, like, why there was no sequel. Maybe it just didn't sell, but what about Sunset Overdrive, man? What happened with that thing?
I don't think it sold that well.
I guess not.
And I think they basically took their game systems and pitched it to Sony as a Spider-Man game, and now everyone in the world wants to play it. So thank you to Microsoft for funding the research to make Spider-Man and make millions of dollars for Sony.
Yeah.
Billions of dollars, I'd say.
Well, that was just a good business decision. Next conference, Bethesda.
Yeah, I think we should go quicker over some of the smaller ones and then just spend more time on Sony and Nintendo.
Sounds good. Did a quick Rage 2 with Andrew W.K. musical interlude, which was strange.
Very strange.
Then they talked about the Elder Scrolls Legends card game, which I'm sure no one in here cares about. Some Elder Scrolls Online update. Also, Doom External teaser.
Eternal.
Sorry, autocorrect got me.
Yeah, another one of these teasers that showed very little.
And yeah.
I mean, there's nothing really to go on here.
And then Quake Champions is going free-to-play for a bit. I guess that game is out there. Then they had this big Prey, almost like just video for new modes and new DLC, and then a little bit of a teaser.
I thought it was kind of cool that a game that did okay, but haven't heard about much since, they're actually putting a lot of effort into adding life cycle to that for free, basically. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much life they'll get out of it, but I mean, I played through a decent chunk of Prey and wasn't really loving it.
The multiplayer mode sounded cool.
The Mimic one?
Yeah, where it's kind of like prop hunt in Call of Duty, which I don't love, but this one has the element of, I would never play it, jump scares and trying to scare and sneak up on your friends. That's kind of cool.
It's almost like hide and seek.
Yeah. I think Prey is a good like concept of a game to use for that game mode.
Mm-hmm. Well, that'll be huge on YouTube.
Yeah, maybe. They announced Wolfenstein 2 is coming to Switch. They announced Wolfenstein Youngblood, mm-hmm. which I didn't really get a feel for what that game is.
It's just kind of like what the New Blood was as a standalone
extension thing.
Yeah. But they're still pretty long, and this one focuses on Blazkowicz's twin daughters, I think, or something like that. So, yeah. Whatever.
So then Todd Howard came out and basically stole the show.
This guy is the best.
He really is. He just controls the stage while he's up there.
So self-aware. Like, both presenters for Bethesda, while I don't care about every game they had the most fluid presentation, presenters with confidence that felt comfortable on stage and really could command the crowd. Number one, I agree, being Todd Howard. I never really, thought about the guy much, but he was amazing. And it actually has made me want to go back and try other Bethesda games. I'm like, I want to like this company. They seem to put value into games, and I don't know.
Yeah.
It had me rethinking that company in general. That's how good, how well they came off to me in their press conference.
Yeah, I mean, I think what they also did much better than the other companies is, well, one, Todd Howard was obviously so prepared and knew his stuff so well, but I liked how they showed gameplay and he kind of described it as they were going through it, and it didn't feel like it took too long to get to things. He explained what the games were doing, So it wasn't just this long teaser with action and violence. He just kind of said, like, you know, when he was explaining the new, like, Elder Scrolls mobile game, Blades, he kind of just, like, walked through, like, okay, this is how the control is going to work on mobile. And they had the demo all timed to what he was saying. And I thought it worked really well. And also, to start off him coming out, the Skyrim troll, where he basically said, we're going to put Skyrim on every platform imaginable. Like, if anyone out there has not seen it, you got to go at least watch this clip of this thing where they try to put it on Alexa. Did you watch it, Sean?
No.
Apparently it is coming to Alexa.
Oh, really? It was fucking hilarious. This thing. I
thought it was real at first.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I could see people like wanting to do that. Someone told me it's real. I'm not sure if that's true. I haven't read that myself. But it clearly devolves into a joke, which I liked.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a little long, though, I have to say.
Maybe everyone should go and just watch, like, at least this start of the press conference, because he nails it, like, right off the bat. And then they have this little skit. Basically, the joke is that everyone's there to see what platform Skyrim's going to be on next. And then they go into this little, like, troll of it being on Alexa and being on what, like, your Apple smartwatch or something like that. Like
your fridge.
Your fridge. Yeah. Yeah.
That is pretty good. I mean, like, that kind of does lead into the, you know, announcement of Elder Scrolls 6, which is, there's so little to show. And it's like, man, like, when did Skyrim come out? Like,
long time ago.
Like, how do they not have any? I guess they've been putting all their time into the online game, but it just seems crazy.
Yeah. So then they, after this, they did the Fallout 76, which now they talked about being sort of like an MMO survival game coming out November 14th, which is actually quite a bit sooner than I expected.
I'm kind of curious to try that. I think it could be interesting, taking their conversation systems, and if they can somehow put them in, like, people talking to each other with choices or something like that, that could be cool. Obviously, the VAT system, which was pretty much what made Fallout what it is, I don't know how that works in a multiplayer.
I don't think it's there. I think it's just like a first-person or third-person shooter now.
But we'll see. I've never been big on the Fallout games. I was debating going back and trying Fallout 3 again.
I know Fallout 4 had the, like, base building aspect, which seems like they're pulling into the survival game, so it's kind of neat that they have, you know, they kind of prototyped it, and obviously that part will be pretty I wouldn't say bug free, but bug light, which is, you know, nice. They I kind of am interested in the, like, almost like living breathing world that they're saying is going to happen, especially with the ability to, like, nuke people. And, like, I kind of like how you have to, like, get your friends together almost like a raid or whatever and try to unlock the nuclear power and then go nuke other sections of the map. And how it, I think they said it's all going to be persistent. Like, once you nuke somewhere, like, that's it, it's nuked. So I don't know how that's going to be reflected and how they're going to do servers and all that stuff. I can't remember. Did they say there are no servers, or all the servers are the same, or I can't remember.
Yes. But it wasn't that. It was like, you won't know what server you're on. They're going to limit people. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Anyways, it sounds like you can almost like manipulate the environment in the game, which could be really interesting and could lead to a lot of sort of like embedded stories that kind of just come out of that gameplay. But yeah. Anyone else want to say anything else about that?
Nope. Haven't played any Fallout games. Yeah. I played a bit of Fallout 3, I think, but I'm probably not going to start now.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, they then talked about that mobile Elder Scrolls game. Then they had this like Starfield teaser, which...
Yeah, so that was their one kind of original IP. So,
yeah, like sci-fi, space, probably
Skyrim-like game. That's about it.
You got what?
We got a cool logo. That's all we know.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think that's like a next-gen thing? I think they actually said explicitly it was next-gen, didn't they?
I don't know, but they also said they've been working on it for like 6 years. So it's got to be further along than just a teaser trailer.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Some of those years could be
just early
pre-production. Two people doing concepts. Yeah. And
I'm sure it is. I'm sure they got a lot of early pre-production. And then they did the Elder Scrolls 6 teaser, which they didn't even, they just called it Elder Scrolls 6, right? They didn't even say like the subtitle, right?
I don't think
correct.
So.
Oh, so they're really going to tease that out. And that was it.
Still overall. Better than Metroid Prime 4 last year.
Yeah.
Pretty close. Pretty close. Yeah, not too much to say about any of that stuff for me.
Yeah. Okay, the next one was Square Enix. I'm just going to rip through this because it's...
Oh, don't even do it.
The only thing of note was maybe the Dragon Quest XI announcement September 4th. I don't think there's been a mainline Dragon Quest game for quite a while. And then that Babylon's Fall trailer, which I think we talked about. And The Quiet Man.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I watched the trailer, but I saw everybody saying it was one of the worst trailers.
It was weird. It was basically like a guy goes into an alley and then beats the shit out of some people. And then they say he's deaf, essentially. And like, that was it. I don't know. And I think it was black and white, too. It was weird. And you got no feel for really what the game was about.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was an odd one.
Okay.
And then Ubisoft, is there anything in here? Oh, I guess you guys probably want to talk about the Ubisoft. They did Just Dance, the dance number. I'm sure Frank was dancing along with that they were coming
so
out.
So long. Oh, my God.
Yeah, you're dancing.
Brutal.
You're loving that bear, right?
I was not.
And then they did the Beyond Good and Evil, and your boys came out.
Yeah, JGL. So we'll start with Beyond Good and Evil 2, which I am definitely looking forward to. I think we talked about, they had a trailer last year, right?
Yes.
And didn't we talk about how there was like a lot of swearing in it, and they were like kind of going overboard with trying to be really gritty?
Mm-hmm.
And I still get that feeling here, but it is interesting just that idea of the anthropomorphic animals in a really realistic, gritty setting. Mm-hmm. Like, it hasn't been done very often that I can think of. So,
yeah, I'm looking forward to it as well. I knew it was Jade in the trailer right away. I liked bringing back both major characters from the original. And I think like the gameplay and like art in the playable stuff still looks rough.
Yeah, I didn't. But, like, I was trying to find gameplay stuff. There was not much. There was like maybe 30 seconds of gameplay they showed, I think. Or was there more?
Yeah, not much.
There was some flying stuff that I think was gameplay.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. But
yeah, it was flying and then they landed on a car and did some combat.
Yeah.
But the models for the characters, the two human models and the animal ones that they showed on the screen in the background, those look amazing. So again, I don't like non-gameplay, like we talked about investments into CG trailers. But out of all the CG trailers, that was the best one I saw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then, Joseph Gordon-Levitt came out and was talking about his Hit Record Joe collaborative thing, allowing people to contribute art to the game, which apparently didn't go over that well.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I think the Hit Record concept in general is kind of cool, that you can kind of contribute to like a movie or something. But what we were talking about a little earlier, from a game dev perspective, having people contribute to your game is cool, and you can think, oh yeah, I'm getting all this free content. But there are like game production aspects to it that would be really hard to overcome, like making sure all the art styles line up and making sure that the assets are optimized and aren't, don't have crazy high res textures and all that kind of like actual technical thing that you usually try to stop early on in the production cycle so that you're not then going back over everything at the end and fixing it up. So,
I think those are all rules in the content. Like they have a contest up for certain things. And I think the first ones are more for non-technical things. It's like, imagine a poster in this futuristic universe.
That's what we were kind of talking about beforehand. If it was just like really low poly with like a texture over top.
I think some of them are just textures or images that they can put as advertisements on signs and to populate the world.
Yeah, so if they're running it like that, I didn't really look into the details, but I think that kind of stuff would make sense that you can outsource. I mean, it kind of is awesome for Ubisoft that they essentially are getting a bunch of stuff made for them in probably pretty quick time. And they don't have to really approve it as long as I'm sure that the hit record people are going to be handling most of the weeding out of the stuff that doesn't meet the criteria. So they basically just have to get it and put in the game, which is pretty incredible.
Yeah. But a lot of people are kind of angry about it too, and saying that, this is just them trying to get free labor, and, the game industry is already like working people way too hard. And now you're exploiting like people that want to get into the industry by having them contribute stuff for free.
I think they get paid.
I think they get paid if it gets selected to be in the game, but it's basically spec work, which I guess a lot of artists really have problems with spec work because it just, you put all this work into something and then somebody could just throw it out and you don't get paid for it. So,
but I mean, you don't necessarily throw it out. You can put it on your resume still. It's any art test you take when you go to apply to a company. I mean, they're not just going to let you walk in the door without proving you can do something.
Yeah, I think people on some level are overreacted to it a little bit, and I could see the point of view because it's like they look at Ubisoft and it's a big company. It's like maybe that would have made more sense to do with a smaller indie project because that's kind of what they've done with the film world, the hit record thing. But I don't know. Like, I still feel like people would be excited to contribute, and if they want to do that.
Yeah, no one's holding the gun to their head to contribute.
Yeah, like I, it's a good point to bring up and to say to people, hey, are you sure you want to be doing this, even though you might not get paid? But I don't know. Yeah, I feel like their intentions were good, but it seems like some people have definitely taken it the wrong way. So
I think their intentions were beyond good and potentially evil. And I think it's a terrible idea. And what it indicates to me is how much or where this project exists in terms of importance within the company of Ubisoft.
My guess is that this game takes another 5 to 6 years to come out.
It is feeling like more. That. I mean, considering what they showed last year compared to this year, it does not seem like there was a huge jump there. But
I don't think it's a big team, and I don't think that stockholders or board of directors have a lot of enthusiasm for it. This is another way to prove if there is an installed fan base, and almost like a weird version of Kickstarter as a way to test desire for this game.
Maybe. I mean, I think it was also just a way to drum up publicity. Like, I'm sure there's, articles and headlines out there about Joseph Gordon-Levitt contributing to Beyond Good and Evil.
Of course. He seemed excited to be on the stage, which was kind of neat to see. That he actually seemed excited about it.
I don't know. To me, it's sad. I mean, that this is probably the franchise from Ubisoft I would be the most excited for. And I'm speculating, but I don't think the company feels the same way.
Well, let's just jump ahead a bit. And would you rather have Joseph Gordon-Levitt on your side, or would you rather have Elijah Wood?
Based on what they're working on, I think Elijah Wood is a better fit for that game, and Joseph Gordon-Levitt, gives nothing to the game beyond good and evil.
I guess that's true.
If you could do the exact same thing with internal artists, the fact that they're putting it out to the public, to me indicates a lack of faith in the project.
Well, I think it's a production thing. Probably they want to save money.
Do we know if Beyond Good and Evil sold well? I seem to recall
that's why I don't think it. Yeah. And that's why we've heard snippets of it. I'm sure it's a passion project for the creator and a lot of people at the company. And they keep trying to get resources and make the game huge. And they're like, we would rather put our money in many, many other games that we don't think or can prove there's a market for this game. We got burned by it once already. And that we think the fans that talk about it are a vocal minority among purchasers of software. And these are just ways to extend it and test it to see if it's viable. I would not be surprised if this game is canceled or, like Huck said, takes another 7 years to make.
Yeah. Okay, then you saw they talked about the Rainbow Six Siege Pro League. I don't know if anyone has any interest in Pro Leagues, but apparently the esports is getting a push. Then they had Trials Rising, another Trials game coming in February. And I don't know, that guy jumping through the TV stand. It's kind of funny to see him do that. I didn't think he was actually going to do that. The Division 2. And
I thought they had some good stuff with that, like announcing that all the seasons would be free. I thought that was pretty cool.
Smart move on their part, you know, just kind of going against all the other, you know, greedy corporate stuff that's been going on lately. So
I like the Division. I played it for quite a bit when it first came out, but again, I wasn't a perpetual player, but I'm curious in the second one.
I think they also announced that there's going to be raids, and also the guy on stage was the slowest talker ever, I have written down. I don't know if you recall, but he pronounced everything. They said it's coming out March 15th.
Did you mention For Honor already? Sorry.
No. Okay. It's coming up.
Okay.
Let's see here. Donkey Kong Country DLC for Mario and Rabbids was the next thing.
That's kind of cool.
I actually have been playing Mario and Rabbids and been really enjoying that game.
Yeah.
I really like it.
It's good.
And then they showed the Skull and Bones game, which basically looks like a souped up Black Flag and looks quite good.
I can't wait for that game. The thing I loved about that is, I don't know, the interface was amazing. Like, kind of how your ship is represented through the HUD. And I don't know. To me, it was like, I will wait for this instead of playing Sea of Thieves.
Yeah, the only thing I didn't like about that trailer or whatever was just how they did all the, like, fluffed up narrative around it to try to hype it up. I don't know. It didn't feel right to me, but I'm sure it interested some people. Then they did the Transference thing. Definitely was giving me some PT vibes in that one.
Yeah, I just kind of checked out on that. There's no way I'm playing that game.
Yeah.
This is VR though, right?
I'm too scared. Yeah.
I think it's both.
Okay.
Yeah, they said it's also playable not in VR.
Yeah. Then they showed Starlink. And they announced that Star Fox will be a ship on Switch.
That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
I was not expecting that at all.
Yeah.
The Star Fox stuff was pretty awesome.
Yeah, interesting to see a lot of Ubisoft and Nintendo collaboration.
Yeah, quite the relationship going on there.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see how this game sells on every console because of this Star Fox thing. I wonder if this will bring people over to the Switch versus other platforms.
Yeah, I would think so. Do we think there's going to be a Rayman Mario crossover in the future?
Maybe. Could happen.
I don't know. But, well, Rabbids are part of the Rayman universe, so
I guess it's already happened.
They're kind of. But the thing about the Starlink is it's like a, I can't remember the terminology.
Toys to life.
Toys to life. The one thing that is intriguing about it, I mean, I've played Toys to Life games. I like them for a short amount of time. I kind of fade out with them. I think it was more about me working on projects with them. But the I don't think there's ever been an open world Toys to Life game, which I think this is, which definitely, like, the idea of leveling up a toy makes a lot more sense in an open world environment than, you know, you level up this toy so it's better to play a single stage of Skylanders or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess the thing I'm not sure about is, are the toys cool enough? You know what I mean? Like, they're all just ships. Like, I think it's cool that you can kind of buy add-ons for the ship and stuff. But
they don't really transform, really. I mean, you said they have the add-ons, but...
Yeah, I don't know. I just
have to buy those.
Something about it just doesn't jump out at me, but I hope it does well, because we know some people working on it.
Yeah.
The other thing is, like, Toys to Life stuff kind of feels like it's on a downswing right now. Like, Skylanders is dead as far as we know. Like, they haven't announced a new Skylanders game for a few years now.
And what's the other one? Lego Dimensions?
Lego Dimensions is officially being discontinued.
Disney Infinity
already has. Disney Infinity is gone. Yeah, so.
The other weird thing about this game is they announced that it's coming out October 16th, which is quite soon.
Yeah.
And I don't really know what this game is about still. I mean, they showed some gameplay where you're shooting stuff on your ship, but what do you do other than that? Is it just a, like, fly around dog fighting game?
Yeah, I don't know. In my head, it's like No Man's Sky or something, but...
Yeah, but I think they've done a really poor job explaining what it is for a game that's coming out so soon.
Yeah.
Which has me a little concerned about
it. I'm watching some gameplay kind of GIFs and stuff like that on the web right now, and it's actually looking pretty neat. The toys are actually much more substantial than I thought. I thought they were smaller. They are big.
Yeah, some of them are really big, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. It also could be, there is such, because every Toys to Life game is done, that there's an opportunity, especially a lot of the games coming out this like holiday season are mature rated games like Fallout and Red Dead Redemption and Call of Duty. There's not a lot of kids games coming out this year.
Smash Bros.
Well, that's not even till December either, right? So
yeah.
I think there's
when
definitely...
When are the Pokemon games coming out?
November, I think.
November.
But I like the art style in the levels a lot.
Hmm. Yeah, I haven't watched enough stuff about it. I should check it out.
Next was For Honor. And you wanted to say something about it, Frank?
I just wanted to say, I know it started off rough. I haven't played it that much. I really want to, because Dax is in love with this game. He plays it nonstop, and I think it's actually gotten pretty popular in the community. So I definitely want to check it out and play it some more. I know it's on sale. I had bought it on Xbox, but much like Assassin's Creed Origins, the combat is really heavy on the shoulder buttons, which are not that great on Xbox. So I think I want to play it on PS4. So I might buy it again. I'm so stupid. I buy it a lot of times.
Yeah, and I guess it's free until this Monday. I don't know when the show is going to actually go up, but...
Only on PC.
Only on PC, yeah. Through Uplay.
Which I downloaded my free copy today.
And they have... Now, do you keep that, or is it just for, like, this week?
The way they made it sound like in the press conference, you keep it forever.
Yeah, that is what they made it sound like. Kind of surprising. And then they said there's some new mode coming October 16th, which is the same day that Starlink is supposed to come out, which I found kind of odd.
But I think it's like, I don't think those audiences overlap at all. So
yeah, no, you're probably right. Next thing was The Crew 2. They announced there's some open beta June 21st. And then they showed a bunch of Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which I'm actually quite interested in. I'm a big Greece, Spartan, Roman history buff kind of guy. And so this time period really interested me. Though They didn't really mention anything about like the Assassins or the Templars, which I found really interesting. It's almost like this is in the Assassin's Creed universe, but they're not actually going to talk about the Assassins this time around, maybe, or maybe they will at the end. But it definitely didn't have a lot of
I think this is more about just the world it takes place in. In the Origins trailer, it didn't really talk about their gameplay demo at E3 last year. It really didn't talk about, you know, the Templars and stuff like that.
Yeah, but they still showcased like the mechanics that you know from Assassin's Creed game, like the stealth kills and the eagle eye vision type stuff. Like all that sort of tie-in was still there, whereas this didn't seem to have any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was mostly just like a combat game, like an RPG Witcher type game. But anyways, I think it's going to be interesting.
That's actually what Origins is like.
Is it?
It's way more in the realm of Breath of the Wild or Horizon Zero Dawn than other Assassin's Creed games.
And so they announced this coming out October 5th. And they had some little like Minotaur tease right at the end. So I don't know if there's going to be like kind of like sub dungeons or DLC with sort of the myths and legend of ancient Greece or something. It's going to be maybe like bonus levels or hard levels or something like that.
And the other big thing was the ability to choose your gender, which was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And I am quite excited for this game as well. I thought it looked really good.
Yeah. And yeah, a lot of games releasing in that holiday window for Ubisoft. And okay, next was Sony, the musical presentation of the ages.
So beautiful.
Everyone enjoy their wood flutes, wood recorders.
It was great. I was telling Frank that it reminded me of the Survivor finales where they would have the live band like playing the Survivor theme. Pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, it almost felt like they were in like a theater, like a dinner theater and play area to begin with. I was like, are they really, like the lighting was all off for like a something being filled by cameras. It felt like it's just really a strange opening.
I mean, like we already mentioned that they had a weird intermission because they were moving the people around in the actual auditorium or whatever. I guess it feels like they were putting more emphasis on the experience for the people that were there, which is weird because, I mean, that's how E3 used to be. But now that everything's streamed live online, you got to think like that home audience is what you should care about, right? But
yeah, and why would you even take the time to move people?
I don't know.
Yeah, I thought that Jack and Sean Layton?
Sean Layton, yeah.
I don't know. That guy just kind of rubs me the wrong way. His jokes, attempts at humor with that stupid Kingsman joke at the beginning was brutal. Not digging that guy. He especially compared to Trenton and Phil Spencer. Mm-hmm. But let's just talk about the games, I think, pretty much. The Last of Us 2.
Yep.
It looked amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The lighting and the set for the story portion looked awesome. I think it went on a little too long. I don't think I need that much cinematic stuff.
Yeah.
But the gameplay, it's kind of what I expect from Naughty Dog. They take shooting mechanics and apply them to different positions or scenarios. So taking an aiming and cover mechanic and moving it under a car, moving it where someone has you pinned to the ground and how you operate within different scenarios. So I also thought like their grass and all the foliage she was going through looked amazing. Pretty much what I expected, but I expected a lot and it looked really good.
I must say, super graphic again. Maybe not as graphic as last year's trailer, but or gameplay demo, but I mean, you see, you go from like the two girls kissing right into her slitting a guy's throat, like right there. And then later on, she's in the woods and you see a guy get like disemboweled, right, hanging from the tree.
Yeah.
Like, this is, they are setting up a really like dark and disturbing scene for this game.
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit of why I stopped watching The Walking Dead, which was a long time ago now, but like there was a point where it just felt like that show was getting so dark and, you know, there was just no joy anywhere. And that's kind of the feeling I get from this game. Like, I just in general don't like that oppressive darkness, but
I would offer the counter theory, Sean, that the joy, at least in the game, is playing it and the satisfaction of shooting, and you're
doing in control of it a little
the
bit.
The positive stuff. So,
yeah, that's true. And I mean, obviously, I trust in Naughty Dog. Granted, I didn't finish the first Last of Us. Maybe I will try and do that before the new one comes out.
Did you make incredible. It to the giraffe?
I think we discussed this at some point.
I know.
Point,
did you, though? I'm
I
trying
don't
to remember.
Think I did.
What a loser.
Once you get there, there's no turning back. Yeah, but the first one was dark like this too, but it definitely seemed more, definitely not as dark as this. I mean, not as violent, that's for sure. Yeah. I mean, there were violent portions, obviously. It's a violent game, but this is just really over-the-top violence, in my opinion. And I mean, I'll probably still play it, but I'm wondering if they're kind of getting up there into the M, or like, I mean, they're already M, but the like AO territory.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's America, so they don't care about gratuitous killing, I guess. But
Mortal Kombat X is M. That's all you need to know.
Okay.
So, no, like the slow motion fatalities and ripping people's spines. Like,
yeah.
There's definitely a benchmark higher than.
But yeah, like, I'm just wondering how that is. I wonder if that almost is considered like cartoony violence.
Yeah.
But I mean, this is pretty real life stuff. But okay. Anything else about Last of Us 2?
No, it did look impressive in the way everything just kind of flows together. I mean, again, it's a Naughty Dog thing, but
yeah,
they're very good at it.
I mean, for Uncharted, this was true, but a little on rails, but that's okay for an E3 thing.
Well, but they're making sure you see everything and making sure it's maximum tension and cinematic and all that stuff. I think that was perfectly planned out to be exactly how they wanted it. Okay, next game they talked about some Destiny Forsaken DLC. Is anyone playing Destiny?
Nope.
Nope.
And then they showed the Ghost of Tsushima, I think.
Yeah.
And that game looks quite good. Little slow-paced demo again. But
yeah, but I kind of like I think they were going for a little bit of that, especially with the duel and sort of just how quiet everything was.
Yeah.
This was the first I really saw this game. Like, I don't know if there was stuff out about it previously, but
they announced it last year at E3.
But did they show anything or?
Nope.
Yeah. Well, it's looking pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, the locations and the colors look amazing.
Yeah.
The riding the horse looked great. I have some questions as to, you know, how that samurai combat translates to gameplay, but it was also very impressive.
And the historical setting is super interesting with the like Mongolian invasion happening. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, there's going to be tons of Mongols to fight. So it'll be really interesting to see how they treat that aspect of the history.
Do we know if it's like an open world type thing or? Because it kind of reminded me of like Red Dead, but instead of Western, it's like.
Yeah, maybe.
Like a samurai kind of setting, but.
Yeah, I think it's open world, but. No confirmation
who's making
at this
game?
Point. Sucker Punch.
Sucker Punch. Mm. Okay.
They did Infamous, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Sly Cooper.
Cool. Yeah, it looks real good. And then they showed Control, which is the new game from Remedy, which definitely, well, as soon as I saw it, I was like, this kind of looks like Quantum Break. And then
it looks a lot like Quantum Break.
And then it was Remedy. I was like, oh, well, that's why. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have too much to say. I mean, it looked just like Quantum Break.
I think it's multi-platform. Again, Microsoft paid for the research and development for follow-up.
Yeah. And then they showed the RE2 remake, which I know is a pretty highly... RE2 in general is a pretty high on the scale of people's, you know, Resident Evil totem.
A lot of people, it's their favorite Resident Evil.
Yeah, game. I've never really played it, and I'm kind of interested in playing it. I'm not a big Resident Evil guy, but I think if they make a remake, I would be interested in trying it out.
Well, I'm looking forward to it because, like, I've tried to go back and play some of the original Resident Evil games that I can't get, like, the controls just drive me nuts. So the fact that it seems like they're doing this with, like, the Resident Evil 4 style camera and everything, I'm definitely game for that.
Yeah. And then they showed, so what is it? My thing auto-corrected to Grover Saves the Universe, but it's something else. Trover?
Trover, I think, yeah.
And I wrote, lots of time for a shitty trailer.
Yep. Thing went off like a wet fart.
Yeah, it definitely, the reaction was just, like, brutal.
I have no recollection of what this looked like, except maybe some orange. Was there some orange in it?
I'm sure Rick and Morty fans are
excited
for it, but I didn't even realize it's a VR game. Apparently it's a VR game.
I think it's both as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is weird because, like, a lot of people like Rick and Morty, as do I, and I was kind of surprised how poorly it seemed to play at the press conference. But for me, I was like, oh, it's kind of a nice change of pace, like, throw something like that in. I guess it was a little long, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know too much about the game, but I like a game that's got a strange sense of humor and could be just poking fun at video games in general. That sounds interesting to me.
I guess.
If that's what it is, I don't even really know. But it could be bad, too. Well, it could definitely be bad.
You'll be its one sale.
Yeah.
No, I think by the time it comes out, how they presented it or how little they showed, and it felt like they expected it to be huge, and it was, what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they just misread their audience, or maybe at E3 everybody just wants, like, you know, the absolute top-notch graphics. They don't want to see, like, some crappy... You know, I wonder, 2D game, or, well, I guess it's not 2D.
Well, what's the audience like for Rick and Morty? I mean, I've heard of it, but I've never seen any of the shows. And I'm wondering if maybe the audience is slightly skewing older and not really like the audience that would be at E3 events.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. It seems like a lot of people, like, it's got a pretty big following now.
Yeah.
But I would have thought that... You know, just saying Rick and Morty, people would have been cheering, but people were not having it. So,
And then they showed Kingdom Hearts 3 again.
Yep.
And then they showed Death Stranding, the somewhat stealth action game with lots of walking.
I think my reaction to it was, it looks like a walking simulator at this point. If I was going to play a walking simulator by anyone, it would be Hideo Kojima's walking simulator.
Yeah, it looks like one of the weirdest games I've ever seen. Like, honestly, it, like, when he's like had that thing that was like had the little satellite dish thing on it, and it was like, I was just like, what the fuck is going on?
I feel like they showed that before.
Oh yeah, definitely. That's kind of the gameplay mechanic. It's how you detect things around you. I think that could be cool if you aim that with the analog stick or something like that to try to find things. But at this point, I'm pretty sure if I could bet on this, I would. This game will launch with the next console. It will not, they will maybe have be forced to release a shittier version at the same time or slightly after for PlayStation 4. But I think there's a ways to go on this bad boy.
Oh, yeah. It kind of gave me like a 12 Monkeys kind of vibe to it. Like, it almost seemed like there was some sort of like time travel-y mechanic. Kind of something's not quite right in it.
I'm like, sure there is.
Yeah, so I don't know.
It seems like there's a lot going on in that game, and I just liked, honestly, how weird it was. Like, it just, I don't know, something about the visuals and, like, the little captions they had. I was just like, this is so, it's so Hideo Kojima, I guess, but,
yeah.
And not even like that I'm a huge Metal Gear guy, but
it looks amazing. I just don't, I mean, I want to see more gameplay.
What's the connection between this and that PT thing? Is there a connection or is it?
No idea. Well, I don't think so.
Kojima made that one, right? With Guillermo del Toro or whatever. The PT.
Well, yeah,
one.
I think Norman Reedus was the actor in it. I think that's the main connection. So when they canceled that or did whatever, they took their kind of team and made a different game with it.
Okay, so it's not necessarily, it's not the same game. It was just maybe started from that point or something.
Yep. And who is the, like, actress at the end? They seem to, like, hold that shot on her. Like, everyone should know who
end?
She is.
I think they announced, I think they had
Leah,
it in there. Like,
Leah Seydoux from...
No,
At the very
not
end?
Not at the end. Yeah, the very end, it's...
The blonde woman?
It's... They introduced it. It was, like, Lindsay Wagner or something like that. I didn't know who she was either.
Okay. But. I was just wondering, because they, like, held on her face for quite a while as if, like, that was supposed to be some big reveal or something, and I have no idea who she was.
Yeah, Leah Seydoux was earlier in the trailer. Let's see here. Yeah, Lindsay Wagner is the one at the end.
Okay. I have no idea.
And she's actually much older in real life, so...
Yeah, I don't know who that is either.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. So then they showed Neo 2 or teased Neo 2. There was nothing really on that, right? Just the title,
no,
really?
No, there's nothing. So,
okay.
I mean, it's very high on my list for most anticipated things, but I could easily take it off as it was like an announcement only in name.
Yeah.
But it is very early to announce a sequel.
Yes, it is.
So
yeah.
I was excited.
And then the big Spider-Man demo, which I thought was kind of weird. I mean, I liked it. It looked awesome. But at the same time, it was at this weird kind of location off in the middle of the ocean or something with all these towers around. Obviously, convenient for Spider-Man. Yeah. And then all the enemies just happened to arrive at the top right at the same time and all this stuff. I mean, obviously it was built for this demo, but
well, I think the idea is they were in that prison
and they're escaping
that prison. Yeah, everyone is escaping from the prison at the same time. He's trying to stop them. I'm assuming that Mr. Negative or whatever that character's name is the one responsible for everyone getting out of the prison. And I think it's cool that they're saying, you know, you're gonna fight all these enemies in the game. I think that's awesome. I thought the effects for Electro when he's going up the shaft and like the trails of lightning.
Yep.
That shit looked amazing.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Again, I think I liked the gameplay a bit more in last year's demo.
Yeah,
with
me
the fighting.
Too.
And I thought it was cool how they showed Spidey sense in some of the cinematics. I don't know if there'll be a gameplay counterpart to that, but bringing Spidey sense in was cool. Again, very happy that this game is coming out soon.
Yeah. This is like the only game I'm actually excited for, I'd say, of games that are coming out somewhat soon.
Red Dead?
Is Red Dead actually coming out soon?
Supposedly October, yeah.
Supposedly? Okay. Well,
from what I'm hearing, they're not moving it, so.
All right. I mean, I liked Red Dead 1. I recall skipping every cinematic in Red Dead 1, though, because they were... not great, but I know everyone says the story is amazing, but in my opinion, only the last like half an hour is amazing of Red
Dead
story.
I do not disagree with you there. I don't think it's bad, but I think it is remembered as a great story because of its ending.
Yes,
and
I think
only
so.
Its ending.
I that's exactly why I think it is. Okay, are we done with Sony? Spider-Man looked amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't watch all of the Spider-Man because it was pretty long, and I was like, I'm getting this game already. I don't need to see all this. But
the combat looks very Batman-like. which I think will fit perfectly with Spider-Man.
Yeah, definitely.
So let's do Nintendo, 45 minutes of Smash Brothers, and we're done.
And we're done.
We'll go through every character, and then we'll call it a night.
Yes, we need to go through all 66 characters. So think of how ridiculous that sounds just to say. And they did that twice. They went through each one just to show that they're in it, and then subtleties of each character in the game. It's insane.
Should we just go from end to front?
Oh, my God.
Start that disaster? Yeah. Yeah. So,
yeah, I mean, like, at least Sony flat out said, we're focusing on these four games or whatever.
And regardless if the presentation was a bad one to me, like the actual show itself, those four games are the top four games I would say anyone is looking forward to for the most part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all going to be really good. Okay, let's just start at the top here. So they announced a game called Daemon Machina, something like that. X? Daemon Cross Machina, something like that.
Daemon X Machina, yeah. I think, yeah.
Yeah, it's huge.
Okay, yeah. then they announced Xenoblade Chronicles 2 DLC. I actually was playing some of Xenoblade Chronicles 2. That game is just so enormous. I can't imagine ever needing DLC for that game, but hey. Then they announced Pokemon Let's Go coming November 16th with the Pokeball controller, though I think they'd already announced the Pokeball controller.
I didn't really understand the Pokeball controller, I got to be honest. Like, it's literally just so you can, like, use it to summon a Pokemon, or, like, can you control
it? I think you can play. I think it's like a controller. But I think it's also to be, like, you could take your Pokemon to your friend's house, like a transfer-type Pokemon thingy. I'm not sure. Because they were talking about how it goes inside, right? I don't know.
Yeah,
like what you use that for, but it must be to go to your friend's house or something, somehow. Otherwise, what's the point of even putting it in there?
And we said Toys to Life is dead.
You know how many of those stupid balls are going to sell?
Yeah.
Pokeball Plus costs $50. And
get out of here.
It comes with a free Mew. That's American.
Oh, my goodness. That's just the controller, not the game.
Correct.
It's pretty cheap for a controller.
It's not really a controller. It's a ball with a nubbin on it.
That's what I don't understand.
And it's got a wrist strap, I guess. Okay, let's move on from that disaster. Then they announced Super Mario Party.
Yeah.
Which will probably be fun. My kids are all into Mario right now, so Ethan's becoming a Super Mario Kart or Mario Kart junkie.
Yeah.
He's getting quite good at it. Yeah,
nice.
He's winning all the trophies for me, so that's nice. Then they announced Fire Emblem 3 Houses in spring 2019, which I'm actually kind of excited for. I haven't played a Fire Emblem game in a long time because most of them were on the 3DS and stuff. And I could use a game like that on the Switch. And Fortnite free now on the Switch. And I'm sure everyone's going to be playing that doesn't have a PC or another console.
It is a good platform for it.
Overcooked 2 coming August 7th. I actually tried Overcooked 1. It was pretty good. It was pretty tricky, though, pretty difficult. And
I love Overcooked 1. There's a junk mail question we'll do in the next show, but someone asked for couch co-op. Overcooked with, like, four people is the best game ever.
Yeah, it's really fun multiplayer. I can vouch for that. I haven't played single player, so I don't know about that. But
yeah, it was a little frustrating at times, but, you know, challenging. They had some Killer Queen Black game, which apparently is, like, some arcade game that is now on Switch. I don't really
It's some phenomenon, and it's a remaster. I had never heard of it. It looks kind of cool as, like, a couch co-op game.
Yeah, on that same Giant Bomb interview show I was listening to, apparently the game's never come out on a console. It's only been an arcade cabinet, and they've only produced 100 arcade cabinets.
Hmm.
So
really?
So it's super rare.
And, oh my god!
And somehow it's created this cult following around these like 100 cabinets.
An exclusivity pitch.
Kind of reminded me of, what was that game that had like the four player, like where you pick up arrows and shoot them at each other?
Towerfall?
Yeah, it kind of reminded me a little of that, but I mean, I didn't get a full impression from the trailer.
Yeah.
But it could be cool.
Then they announced that Hollow Knight was out today, which I've never played yet, but apparently is very good.
Just bought it for the second time.
yeah? For the Switch?
Yep.
And then they announced that there's going to be Smash Bros. And Platoon tournaments. Not a big deal. And then Octopath Traveler is coming out July 13th and a new demo June 14th.
That looks pretty cool.
Yeah, I played the first demo. It was really neat. Then they had a sizzle reel of tons of games. Let's see, I wrote them all down. Starlink, Arena of Valor, Minecraft, Sushi Striker, the Mario Rabbids DK DLC, PixArk, which is like Ark, whatever, Combat Evolved or whatever it's called, but Minecrafty.
Okay.
Just Dance 2019, Dragon Ball Fighter Z. Splatoon 2 DLC, Captain Toad Treasure Tracker. Isn't that game already out? Was that a Wii U game?
Yeah, it's just a repackaging. I think they added some new levels or something, but
okay.
Yeah, it's like every other game on the Switch except for Zelda and Mario. They've just taken every game that no one bought on the Wii U, and now it's the best game ever, and it's still $80.
Yep, damn right. And then this one I was surprised, Crash Trilogy, which I thought would have been Sony exclusive, but I guess not anymore.
No, it was a year exclusive. Activision had bought the rights, and they said they'd let them do the original trilogy if they had the year exclusive.
Oh, okay.
So that's out on Xbox.
Oh, is it, too?
Yeah, next week as well, I think.
And then a game called Ninjala, Carcassonne, the board game, FIFA 19, Ark Survival Evolved, the full game, Wasteland 2, Paladins, Fallout Shelter, Dark Souls, which has been out for quite a long time now. This is Dark Souls 1. SNK Heroines, which I think is a fighting game. Monster Hunter Generations Ultimate. Wolfenstein 2, which is pretty big. The World Ends With You, which is a DS RPG. I'm kind of interested in that.
It's just a remake of it? Or
I think so. Probably another repackage.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Mega Man 11 and Mario Tennis Aces. And then they did the Smash Brothers Ultimate Forever Extravaganza. And that's it. That was the whole Nintendo conference.
Yeah, definitely a disappointment. I mean, I guess I can't expect two Metroid games to be announced every year, but I mean, at least
they didn't even follow up on their announcement from last year.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
I think it's pathetic.
It just, like, when you look at what's out for the Switch, like, they need to, like, show people that there's more stuff coming. Mm-hmm. Everything that, you know, is filling the gaps right now is, like, indie stuff or re-releases of previous Nintendo games. There's not a lot of first-party stuff that we know of that's being lined up right now.
To me, it is an insult to people who supported the Wii U. You are just giving them the games they already bought.
Yeah.
Well, on the Metroid front, especially when you see like the Ghosts of Tsushima or whatever did basically the same thing last year, and now look what they're showing.
Yeah.
And you're showing nothing.
Well, that's probably because the Metroid Prime 4 was
literally nothing.
Made the night before in Flash.
Yeah, it's too bad they didn't say that for this E3, because last E3 they actually had stuff to talk about.
Well, what happened to that Yoshi game?
Yeah, I can't believe they didn't show any of that.
What about the Kirby game? Is that out?
That's out already. Alliances or something.
Star Allies,
yeah.
Piece of shit.
Yeah, that game's out already.
I'm actually excited. I played the demo for Mario Aces. I think that's cool.
Yeah, that Kirby game basically just evaporated into the wind.
So the Yoshi game is 2019. I don't know if that was already known, but even the fact that the Pokemon, the Let's Go Pokemon games, like they spent so little time on that. Like,
yeah,
take a few minutes out of your Smash Bros. Yeah. And like, you know, show us a little bit of that. Like,
yeah, even that sizzle reel was like maybe 4 to 5 seconds per title. They just like ripped through it all.
Yeah.
I had to like pause the video a bunch of times just to write down the names of all the games that were in there.
Yeah, I mean, not much else to say. I guess, you know, obviously Smash Bros., I understand people love that game, and I get why there's so much time put on that, but it's, I don't know. I was waiting for something. I was hoping Nintendo would salvage this year's E3, and they did not. They definitely did not.
Yeah. It's a rough one.
All right. Is that it?
Yeah.
Are we doing our
tops?
Yeah.
Sure. Let's do it.
I don't have a bottom five. I don't know if you guys have one.
My bottom five is pretty weak. It's basically just Kingdom Hearts Overload and the Smash Brothers shit, which I think we've already harped on enough.
I did think of one more trend, though, Frank, which kind of ties into a trend in movies as well, but the gunshots set to the music was in, like, mm-hmm. literally every trailer I saw at E3 this year.
Yeah, I'm on. Well, okay, what game? I think it was Prey, the Prey edition, that did their the trailer to Spin Me Right Round by Dead or Alive.
I don't remember.
Maybe?
One of the Bethesda games that I think. I liked the idea of just setting a trailer to music, it not being some slowed down cover version of something. Like, it was refreshing to just have, okay, here's a trailer cut to a song.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've spoken my piece.
I think The Division did that this year, did it not?
Did
it? Anyways, I don't know. Let's do the top five.
All right, go ahead, Hawk City.
My number five would be the Fire Emblem game. I'm excited to see that.
What?
That's right.
keep going. Just do
all five. Okay, yeah. Then the Ghost of Tsushima, then the Todd Howard Skyrim troll. You gotta watch that, Dwight. It's fucking
it
hilarious. And then Assassin's Creed Odyssey and number one Spider-Man.
Okay, I'll go next. I mean, some of the stuff I just kind of went by. Like, Spider-Man's not on my list. I think it looks amazing, but it looked amazing last year, so,
yeah, sure,
you know, whatever.
Fair enough.
So, my number five, this was actually one we didn't mention, and I saw the trailer. I don't know if it was at one of the press conferences, but did you guys see the Sable game?
No.
It looks crazy. Like, it's kind of like a cell shaded art style, I can't really describe it, but it looks very interesting, and it kind of reminded me of Rime a little bit, I guess, from what I saw. But yeah, I don't know. Looked pretty cool. Check it out if you haven't seen it.
Is that
say
it's by Raw Fury?
Yeah.
Publishing? Oh, they're becoming quite good at finding
says,
games.
Studio Ghibli inspired desert adventure. Yes. So number four, Resident Evil 2 remake. Did not think I would be that excited about
it.
I am definitely. Number three, Death Stranding. Number two, Ghost of Tsushima. And number one, Cyberpunk 2077.
Oh. The Sable game does look pretty fucking sweet there, Dwight.
Yeah, man.
Okay, this is basically what I'm the most excited to play out of anything that was discussed at E3. I did a top 10. I couldn't nail it down to five. Skull and Bones, number 10. Death Stranding, Fallout 76. Number 7, Devil May Cry 5. Number 6, Ori and the Will of the Wisps. 5, Ghost of Tsushima. 4, Shadow of the Tomb Raider, which is kind of going under the radar. It comes out in September. I'm fucking pumped. 3, Spider-Man. 2, Last of Us. Number 1, Neo 2.
Wow.
Fuck it up. I still got to beat the last Tomb Raider, the game that came out.
And I just want to reiterate how shameful it is that Final Fantasy VII and Shenmue III have been no-shows for 3 years after the hype that was generated by lazy announcements.
Was that three years ago? Maybe two.
I don't know. It's insane.
But, I mean, that's also kind of what we were complaining about this year, is that nothing was really announced. So it's like, do you want people to announce stuff that's, you know, not ready, or I don't know what
you,
the better.
Hey, that's the game you play. You better have some kind of update. You can't just do empty announcements. And when people do empty announcements, we have to remember them. We have to speak their name and shame them every year. If there's no update on Elder Scrolls 6 next year, or that stupid space game Bethesda's doing, I will shout their names with as much anger.
Okay.
Okay.
So one other random game that I don't know if this was at any of the press conferences, but I didn't even know they were doing this, but the Super Meat Boy Forever.
Well, that was in Xbox or Sony. I don't know. It looks awesome.
Yeah, I think that was in the sizzle reel for Microsoft. I didn't write down all the names that were in that one.
What's up with Below? Is that coming out this year?
I don't know if it's this year, but it said it's a console window release exclusive on Xbox.
Yeah, I expected to hear more about that one. But
it was in the sizzle reel. It got demoted.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's about it. Oh, did you have bottom five, Frank?
We talked about it. I'll just do it quickly. Just Dance intro at Ubisoft. no Final Fantasy VII or Shenmue III. Shame. Sony moving people through venues and having that stupid panel. Number two, Trover Saves the Universe. Wet fart. And number one, maybe we didn't talk about this. Dreams is kind of a no-show, too. It was only there as this weird band, which has no context. It was so awkward. They cut to some banana playing an instrument. I'm like, fuck off. This is the worst. Stop wasting my... You're pissing me off!
I thought they were building to something, and then there would be a big reveal for it at the end.
Yeah, here's Dreams. We made this today. We did this today. This is how powerful Dreams is. No, it's just some stupid band. Oh, my. I got to go to... How am I supposed to go to bed now? It's 2 a.m. I'm all fired up now.
Sorry, Frank.
What am I going to do, Sean?
I don't know. Pop a few pills, maybe. So, yeah, anyway, we got a lot of other stuff to discuss that I'll have to wait for another day. Any other closing thoughts on E3? I mean, what are we looking at for what's coming out this year that we're even... I mean, we mentioned Red Dead, Spider-Man.
Shadow of the Tomb Raider, bro.
Shadow of the Tomb Raider, that's right. You know what? My goal this summer, to get through the other two Tomb Raider games. We'll see if it happens, but I really want to. So,
for my money, the most underrated franchise on consoles today. Consoles.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty good. Okay. What else do you got there? Anything of interest?
Not really. I mean, Mega Man 11 is kind of cool.
I'm excited for that. And I think the Mega Man X collection is finally coming out too. That's pretty fucking sweet.
Yeah, although it's in two parts.
You're fucking kidding me.
No. I know.
No, you just got me angrier.
I'm confused. I don't, like, how many games are there in that series?
Well, there were 6, 3 on Super Nintendo, 3 on PlayStation, and 1 on PlayStation 2 that I'm aware of. I think there might have been an 8 as well.
Mega Man X? Yeah, I think there's like 8.
And you can't put all those on one?
They're too big.
They better, one for, oh my God, if 1 for 6 are separated, I'm going to snap.
Mega Man, I don't know, the description on this doesn't seem right. Anyway, you have to look it up. It looks like...
Are you sure they're separated? I don't think so. They separated Mega Man Collection 1 and 2.
Mega Man X Legacy Collection 1 and 2. But it looks like it's on one disc? What the fuck? so confusing. Yeah, $20 each.
Oh my God, that's disgusting.
Or you can purchase a $40 retail bundle for both.
Disgusting.
So the first one is Mega Man X.
1 through 4 and then 5 through 8. It's disgusting.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh my God.
All right, let's wrap it
up. Drop that after I'm all fired up.
Okay, so
Starlink. You have Starlink on there?
What? Oh, that's coming
October.
This year?
October 16th.
I think I do.
Odyssey?
No, I don't.
Yes, yeah, so Creed Odyssey. Just dropping all the E3. You missed all the E3 announcements.
Yeah, what? Like
Forza Horizon 4, which looks amazing.
Hitman 2, November 13th.
That game's flying under the radar.
Yep. What about the Spyro Reignited trilogy?
Fuck yeah.
I'll tell you what I'm excited about. New WarioWare game in August.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, man. But anyway, yeah, there's a fair bit of stuff coming before the end of the year. Okay, so anyway, yeah, we'll have another episode in the near future. We'll be talking about God of War and a bunch of other stuff we've been playing. I mean, it's been 6 months. I'm sure there's a few other games we've played.
Perhaps.
And we will get to your junk mail.
Let's do it.
I think we did answer a few
throughout
this episode, but we'll get to the rest next week. And you can follow us on Twitter at Game Junk Podcast, and individually we are at Dirty Frank with 3 hours of dirty at My Angry Commute. Is that still what you want to direct people
to?
Or,
still there.
At Equilibrium Sis? Is that?
Yeah, on Twitter. Yeah, both of those are fine.
And I am at Film Junk. Until next time, we'll see you guys later. Bye bye.